All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, 18 stories above downtown Chicago. Here till 5 a.m. First, say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagru. Hi, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you, sir?
Great, man. How about you?
I'm all right. I'm okay. And in the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Vic, how are you?
Doing very well, sir. Thank you for asking.
Very cool. So Vic and Dan are here. We'll be here all morning. By the way, you can contact us via talk and text, 312-981-7200. It's 2 for Tuesday. Which means you can get your requests in now. We'll play them later. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can follow us on Twitter. At Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. Now I want to bring my guests in right now. And it's the people that, as far as I'm concerned, still own this time slot. And it's the great Steve and Johnny. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Well, I'll be real honest. We have been stressed for about the past, at least 24 hours.
I can imagine. For people who don't know, I mean, obviously you guys have a place in Panama City Beach in Florida.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that is right along the path of Hurricane Michael.
Yep.
And by the way, Steve and Johnny are going to be here. We're going to talk about happier things.
Yes, yeah. We're just going to hang out
and
with you.
They're going to hang out. They got a bunch of stuff coming up, upcoming events, and all kinds of things they want to talk about. But we wanted to jump out of the gate with the Hurricane Michael situation. And now, you guys, have you been through any of the hurricanes that have passed that area before?
We have been. Well, the last hurricane that we saw the results of was Hurricane Opal.
But we were there for Memorial Day, and it turned into a tropical storm.
Storm Lee.
But it was a really big deal because you had all the tourists that were in town, and they were saying, you know, you really need to go back home.
Right.
People, but this is my vacation.
Right.
No, and that's really a tough call.
You don't want to die during your vacation.
No. And this is a holiday, so there were a lot of vacationers there. And I guess some states have a fall break, so there are quite a few tourists in town.
Yeah.
It is a tourist town. And,
it was a little scary this afternoon because our phone here rings. Because it is one of the priority lines that we have listed for emergencies in Panama City Beach.
Yeah.
We get a call. It's a robocall from the city of Panama City Beach saying mandatory evacuation.
Man. And in 30 years, we've never had that happen.
Wow.
So,
well, we have Chris Smith.
We do.
With us. He's the chief meteorologist for WJHG-TV in Panama City Beach, correct?
And the best way to introduce Chris is to say what Tom Skilling is to WGN in Chicago, Chris Smith is to Panama City Beach. And Chris is one of those guys who devotes so much of his time. He was doing Facebook Live updates all day and will be losing a whole lot of sleep because of us, because he's going to be basically on the air starting in the morning at WGHJ.
Right. All right, well, let's get him on here. Chris Smith. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. How are things up there in Chicago?
Nice and quiet, Chris.
Yeah.
We saw your last report, and you said that Hurricane Michael was, what, is it getting more organized?
Yeah, getting better organized. The pressure really hasn't changed since the last advisory. They just put a new one out a few moments ago, but all indications are that it will continue to strengthen as it moves up towards the northern Gulf Coast, and everything's kind of pointing towards panhandle landfall Wednesday afternoon, most likely.
And that's what they're looking. They're looking for Wednesday for the first time it'll touch.
Yeah, we'll start seeing tropical storm force winds probably move on shore this time tomorrow night, and then conditions from that point on will start going downhill. But by this time, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, it will be gone and it will be, you know, quiet. So it's going to be kind of like a 24-hour little period there that things are going to be pretty rough across our area, and then it's going to move through pretty quickly at least. And so that's the one saving grace. Just right now, it's a matter of, you know, where exactly is it going to make landfall, what I've been telling my viewers.
Yeah.
We have basically two benchmark storms in our history. One is Opal back in 95. And then Eloise back in 1975, and those are kind of like the big ones that everyone, you know, kind of talks about, especially Opal. I think this will rival Opal. and possibly exceed Opal for parts of our area. It all depends on where the center ends up coming on shore and where we see that worst storm surge. But I think the storm surge right now is going to be very comparable. In Panama City Beach, we had about 8 feet of storm surge with Opal, and I think this one is going to be up there near that for points east of the center. So that's going to be one of the big concerns. One of the things with Opal, though, the wind wasn't, it was bad, but it wasn't terrible, and the rain wasn't bad. This storm is going to have, I think, more wind and also more rain than that. So I think when you add it all together, it's going to end up being the surge will be like Opal. The wind will be probably as strong, if not stronger, and the rain is going to be more of an issue with, you know, probably 4 to 8 to 10 inches of rain.
And Chris, to put this in perspective for our listeners in the Chicago area, Johnny and I were down and saw the after effects of Hurricane Opal. If you can imagine, the Gulf is on one side of
Shores.
The Shores Hotel. So imagine, here's this big condominium. On one side is the Gulf. On the other side is what is called Back Beach Road. After Opal, we went down there and we saw a palm tree that had been on the roadside. It had been pulled under the foundation of the hotel and was sticking out on the Gulf side.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So that's a lot of strength.
I've never seen anything like that before, and I hope that Michael is not going to do that kind of damage.
I mean, you know, we've seen so much growth even since, you know, 1995, and you think about how many people have moved to the area since that time. I mean, you know, there weren't a ton of people here in 95, and then you go back to 75, there's literally nobody here. You know, in comparison to a big town like Chicago, I mean, even now, it's a pretty quiet place. Panama City Beach has 15,000 full-time residents. You know, that's it. You know, we get a bunch of tourists from time to time, but, you know, as far as the locals, everyone pretty much knows everyone. You know, it's not a big area, although it is, you know, continuing to grow. And, you know, a lot of people aren't experienced with storms. I mean, I've been here since, you know, I've been in the South for a long time and been through a number of storms. I remember Opal. I was in college at Florida State for getting my meteorology degree when that made landfall. But, you know, a lot of people haven't experienced a real storm. I mean, we had some of the ones in the mid-2000s, Ivan and Dennis, where we got glancing blows and impacts, but not the full-blown effect. And this will be really the first time since Opal that we're going to take a direct hit from a major hurricane.
Are the people heeding the evacuation notices? Are they leaving? Because I know some people, you know, you hear these stories. They go, I'm staying in. I'm staying here. Are people leaving?
I think as a whole, I think we're getting a lot of people that are doing it. Now, we'll see tomorrow morning because that's the evacuation orders are in effect that everyone needs to start getting out by tomorrow morning. Now, my wife and son, I sent them out tonight, and they're over in Biloxi, and that's where they're going to stay for the duration of the event. I wasn't concerned overly when I told them to go. It wasn't the fact that I was concerned about my house or the storm surge where I am in particular. I felt comfortable with our house being able to withstand and all that kind of stuff, but it was more of the comfort of after the fact. I was more concerned about power outages and stuff and them sitting in a, you know, a hot house with no, you know, electricity. Why not go to the Beau Rivage and, you know, hang out by the pool and have air conditioning and stuff like that? Sure. So that was my choice. And then they ended up issuing the mandatory evacuation orders for, I live in South Walton, and for our area, and they had already issued them for Panama City Beach. And I think a good many people are. I'm not hearing of a lot that are saying, you know, I'm going to stick it out. And if they are, people are reaching out to me and saying, hey, you know, would you stick it out? And, you know, if you're under mandatory evacuation order, it's best to just get out. You know, I think that's the safe bet because, again, our knowledge of where exactly the storm is going to go in 20 miles can make a huge difference as to the kind of impacts, especially when it comes to something like storm surge. You know, so if this thing comes in on Panama City Beach, that's going to funnel all that water up in St. Andrews Bay, and you're going to get some catastrophic storm surge flooding in the bay. Now, if the storm comes in at Mexico Beach, you have the north wind coming out of the bay, and you're not going to have nearly the storm surge on Panama City and Panama City Beach, and all that storm surge will be Cape Sandblast down towards Port St. Joe, Apalachicola. So, you know, and that's just a very small difference. And, you know, to even now, you know, 24, 36 hours away from landfall, it's just not realistic to say within 20 miles where is the center of this storm going to go. And so you have to, you know, play it safe and go with the worst-case scenario. And like I've told my viewers, I said, right now, act as if there's going to be a Category 3 hurricane passing over your house. It's not going to pass over everyone's house, but that's the way you need to prepare right now, as if that's going to happen, because it is going to happen in northwest Florida on Wednesday.
Right. Chris, are we correct? I believe we heard earlier that Tyndall Air Force Base has also been ordered to evacuate.
Mm-hmm.
Including
they're in a real precarious situation over there as far as their elevation and everything, and also, you know, they have, you know, millions and millions of dollars in aircraft, so they're always very keen to get those things out of there immediately. And so they've evacuated all the Raptors and everything. And I think over at Hurlburt and Eglin, they've done the same thing. You know, we have a lot of military bases down here, but that area in particular is really low over there and is susceptible to storm surge flooding.
Well, Chris, I personally would like to thank you for all of the hard work that you put into keeping us informed, not only on television, but personally taking it to Facebook, because we have just been glued to that throughout the day, and we will continue to be with you over the next 36 hours.
And for people who want to see what we're talking about, you can go to Facebook Live and do a search for WGHE-TV. But I think, Chris, is it possible? I know some of the cable outlets, like DirecTV, sometimes when there is a major event like this, they will start carrying some of the local TV stations. And is it possible that they're probably going to carry what you're doing too?
You know what? You never know. I'm a worker bee. I keep my nose to the grindstone, and I'm going to do my thing. And wherever I happen to show up, I happen to show up. But we're going to get the message out there. We have radio partners in town. You know, we're going to stream it live. So if you download the WJHG app or you go to WJHG.com, you're going to see the live stream of all the coverage that we do there. You know, and so God willing, as long as, you know, we continue to have power and internet and everything, we'll do that. And if we don't, we'll, you know, we'll be strictly over the radio on our radio partners. But we're going to continue to do our best to get the message out to as many people as possible. And we'll keep our fingers crossed. But again, this is going to be a storm that people we're going to talk about for a long time across the panhandle, I think, when it's all said and done.
All right. Chris, thank you so much for taking your time, taking the time to do this for us. Get some rest, and best of luck, man. Stay safe.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
There you go. That's Chris Smith, chief meteorologist for WJHG-TV in Panama City Beach, getting ready for Hurricane Michael. And people can watch all that stuff on Facebook Live,
yeah.
And Chris is covering it for us. So there you go.
And it's what one of the things I didn't mention, but when we were watching him earlier, he was saying that some of the wind speeds could be around 120 miles an hour. Thank you very much.
That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're wishing everybody the best, yeah. and everybody and your father too.
Thank you,
Johnny, and your house down there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right. We're going to take a break. You guys, hang on a second. Steve and Johnny are with us, and we have happier things to talk about, but that we wanted to get the word out on that. So there you go. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. It's Nick DiGilio here. Two for Tuesday coming up a little bit later on. Get your requests in, 312-981-7200. And Steve and Johnny are here. Hi, guys.
Hi, Nick.
Hi. We've been a little distracted over the past 24 hours or so, and you're going to continue to be distracted and concerned about what's going on in Panama City Beach.
Well, we told you off the air, but I'll say very quickly, we were supposed to be down there a week ago. We were supposed to be down there
yesterday.
Past Sunday.
Yeah.
Because of the incredible heat they've had, we put it off till next week.
And thank you, Southwest. They said, sure, we'll give you one rebooking, no cost, which is huge, mm-hmm. I think. So we said, well, we'll make it a week later. Had no idea that there was a storm coming.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday when I looked at Stephen, I said, you know, we're supposed to be landing now. And he said, I'm so happy we're not.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, and you guys have been through a few storms. Nothing as major as this. But
yeah.
You've been through. It's a stormy climate.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when he says the benchmark is Opal, that just kind of sends a chill up my spine, because we were there a couple of weeks after. And Nick, when you walk along the beach and you see the back of buildings that are completely decimated, and you walk up to, there's no wall, and you look up at a medicine cabinet, and there with the door hanging off the medicine cabinet, all the medicine is lined up perfectly. It hasn't moved. No floor, no wall, but everything is lined up perfectly. It's just so weird.
Well, you know, I've lived here my whole life, so I've not had to. I mean, we get snowstorms, and we get. I had an ice dam this past winter. What a nightmare that is.
You had to stay home.
It was for 3 nights. I didn't sleep, and I was monitoring the wall that where it was the back of my kitchen, but by the back porch.
It's terrifying.
It's horrible, man. And I was just mopping up and I didn't decide to take nights off of work because of it. And there was water damage to the wall, and you know, so that's just, you know, I don't know. I'm hoping the roof is fixed. Here's the thing: I live in a big apartment building. Okay, big part. I think there are like 60 units in my apartment building. It's a really big building. Mm-hmm. I was the only unit that was affected by it.
No.
Yeah.
Tells you something.
It was a nightmare.
I love your Facebook pictures of the overpass with the trucks getting stuck.
I don't know. You know, I've lost track of how many. I've lived in this apartment now for 7 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not exaggerating when I say maybe 10 trucks have tuna canned in front of my apartment. And one of them flipped over Mad Max style. Like, it was, and the guy had to climb out. I've taken many pictures and posted them. It hasn't happened in a while, knock wood, you know. But, I talk about it on the air, and a lot of truck drivers, obviously, as you guys know, truck drivers listen to this time slot a lot. Sure. And they will call up and say, well, here's what happens. They repave the roads or the streets. Course. They repave them, and they don't change the sign for the clearance on the bridge. And that's why it happens, you know, pretty frequently, because if you trust the sign, you know, that says how many feet it is.
And you know how high your truck is.
But then there's tar piled on top of pavement, piled on top of pavement, and then boom. But I mean, I'll tell you what, it's like the loudest thing ever when it happens. Like, the whole apartment shakes when the truck happens. But
have you ever seen a truck pull up and realize they can't make it and they have to
go back?
Oh, no.
No.
Let the air out of their tires.
Yeah, let the air out of the tires.
And that's amazing to see them and get under there.
Yeah.
You make it.
Crazy. All right, you guys hang on, okay?
Okay.
We got a break for the news. Steve and Johnny are here, and they got a bunch of stuff coming up, and we're going to talk to that. If you guys want to jump in, say hi to Steve and Johnny, 312-981-7200. The phone and text lines are open, 312-981-7200. News is coming up. Hey, guys.
Turn your lights down, way down.
Now you hear my voice, and everybody's disappointed.
Oh, stop.
Steve and Johnny are here, and it's always great to catch up with you guys. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot to talk about, and you got some upcoming appearances and things that you want to talk about. And we already covered Hurricane Michael, which is in the back of all of our minds right now. Well, in the forefront in a lot of people's minds as well, and we'll keep coverage on that. But welcome back to the show, you guys.
Yeah, and thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's just it was no special occasion. We just thought, why don't you just come on down and do the show? But you got some stuff coming up that we want to talk about.
Well, where should we start?
Yeah, this is kind of something new in our life.
We'll just share this with you. We didn't know this was going to happen,
and you know nothing about this.
Years ago, one of our favorite groups to have in was BR549, a wonderful rockabilly country group. And we had them in for, I don't know how many times. They have just released a CD of their performances on our show. This was recorded off the radio.
Is that right?
And the sound quality, they love the sound quality. And I will say, parenthetically, God bless JC.
The sound was so good.
The sound was so good.
It
they
still
said,
is.
Hey, this is what we want. And they've just released these CDs, and you can get them on their Facebook page. That's BR5-49.
Now, they're no longer together, but they have this huge cult following around the world. This CD has gone crazy because they included the setup. So we interview the guys, and they go into a song that Steve was engineering.
Right.
And brilliantly, I might add, because they were so impressed, they didn't do any tweaking to the production of the numbers.
It's just the sound that was on the air. And to give you a little backstory, too, if you look at the cover, the guy with the blue jeans, that's Donnie Herron. He's now playing with Bob Dylan.
Oh, wow.
He's Dylan's go-to man for every instrument but guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And if you look at the
far left-hand side, that's Jay McDowell. And Jay now heads up the country music. It's the Musicians Hall of Fame.
Musicians Hall of Fame in Nashville. Right next to him is
that's Hawkshaw. Oh, no, that's Chuck Mead.
Chuck Mead, you may know, because he's the one that came up with the concept for and produced the Million Dollar Quartet. Thank you very much.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
Wow. And now the interviews, there's two interviews on here.
There's a number of snippets that lead into all of the pieces.
Right.
So it's really funny to hear our voices as we're kind of drawing them out because we had become familiar with them. They were kind of bubbling under on Broadway in Nashville. They played a bar called Robert's Western World. And they would put out a fruit jar. And they would go in and they would play, Nick, they would play for 6 hours. And as long as people were putting money in that fruit jar, they would play these obscure, hardcore country tunes. And we heard about them. So when they were coming through Chicago, we said, hey, come to the studio. I'll cook for you. Knowing that they were Southern boys, I made banana pudding, fried chicken, biscuits, all that. So during the breaks, they're like shoving food in their face. And then wiping the grease off their hands and go, and we had all the instruments, stand-up bass, drums, everything in here.
Wow.
And they liked it so much that they came across the archived
I don't know how they
tapes.
Found this, but apparently someone had just recorded it right off the air, and it's only available through their Facebook page. So if you want to get a copy, go to BR5-49.
It's 14
on Facebook,
it's
right.
$15, $14.99, and you get 21 cuts on here. I didn't even realize they performed that many songs on our show. Dan, did you know anything about this?
I did not.
Isn't that cool?
That is fantastic.
And it's also available on eBay. Do a search for BR5-49 CD, and we heard from Jay that apparently it's, as he said, it's selling like hotcakes.
But as he said, I've never sold hotcakes. I just know it's selling well. And the name of the group comes from the old Hee-Haw show, when Junior Samples used to come out as a car salesman.
And he would say, he would kind of forget the name. He'd say, and the number is BR549.
Is that right?
That's
where the name of the group came from.
That's
great. Hee-Haw.
That is great. Oh, man. You know what else is really fun about this is the picture. You get to see the old A combo.
Yes.
In the studio.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And there's a picture inside here. Did they include the picture of? We used to have not only a piano, a full piano. You may remember the piano we had in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
But we also had an exercycle in there. So they would eat fried chicken and hop on the exercycle during a break.
I don't think that picture's in
that
there.
That picture didn't make the cut, but these are old pictures. I mean, I look at this and go, who is that
this
woman?
Yeah, these are mid-90s pictures.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, anyway, it's BR549, and you can get the CD through their Facebook page, and it's on eBay as well.
It specifically says The Steve and Johnny Show.
Right.
Which is really cool too.
Yeah, The Steve and Johnny Show, and it's very, very, really cool. So that's great. That's really, really cool.
Proving once again that on the internet, your past is always there. You can never escape your past.
That's fantastic to hear.
Be afraid.
That's great. Thanks for reminding me of that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're here to help.
You know, we talked just a little bit off the air, and this has something to do with music. You guys saw A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. You know, here's the thing about the movie. Let me just say this. I'm not a Lady Gaga fan at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody loves her. I've never really been a fan. And, you know, I like Bradley Cooper. I always thought he was a good actor, but I was like, he's going to direct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So my expectations, despite the fact that everything I heard was really great, mm-hmm. you know, everybody I know who had seen it, like in Toronto or any place else, the buzz was really, really high. My mom, of course, was freaking out because one of her favorite movies of all time is the Barbra Streisand version.
Thank you. Well, Chris, I call it the Chris Christopherson version.
And, you know, that's a movie that has been a part of my life mm-hmm. since 1976 because of my mom's obsession with it. So I know every song from the soundtrack, and I love it. Paul Williams wrote most of the music on that. I love that soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And the movie is corny, but I love it because it's one of my mom's favorite movies.
Right.
And so she, of course, was very excited to see this. So I went in, you know, I had the altered expectations. My God, it's good. I mean, it's it is really, really good. Yesterday morning on the show, you know, we reviewed it, Colin and Eric and I, and all three of us gave it a great. I actually gave it the best review out of the three of us. And then we started talking about movies that make you cry because I cried like a baby during A Star Is Born. There were like two or three scenes where I was like, oh, my God. And then the final scene in the movie, you know. But and Lady Gaga's great. Bradley Cooper is amazing in it.
He is right out of the box. Oh boy, is he a director.
He's a great director.
And let me give you, I'm not going to give away anything because I hate people like some of the reviewers for some of the papers that have given away too much, I thought. But one of the things that I was impressed with, and this is going to sound weird, but I think you'll know where I'm going. The sex scenes. Mm. They are beautifully photographed. And there is nothing that shouldn't be there. It actually entices you by what you don't see.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a brilliant directorial choice he makes.
In every scene, to me, there's a real sense of intimacy.
Oh, there's a chemistry there.
But like the way he handles the pauses in the movie.
Yep.
That there's a scene in. I mean, some of the just the one-on-one acting scenes are so great. And one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie is when they're getting to know each other. They're sitting
in the parking
very
lot.
Late at night, and they're sitting in a parking lot outside of a 24-hour grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie, and it's just them talking and Greg Grunberg eating Cheetos.
It's so sweet,
and it's a wonderful scene. And that's when she first belts out one of her songs. Mm-hmm.
Look at me, I got goosebumps just talking about it.
And Bradley Cooper. And not only directed the hell out of the movie, but his performance is phenomenal. I think it's the best performance he's ever given. Mm-hmm. He co-wrote the songs. He can play guitar. He can sing.
He sings.
Where the hell did that come from? Like, the opening scene of the movie. Well, first of all, the opening scene, that song is a jam. The song that they open with. And I'm like, whoa. Like, immediately out, I'm like, where did the guy from The Hangover, where did that come from? So,
and he spent a year learning how to lower his vocal register to make it seem like he and Sam Elliott are in fact brothers.
Right.
In fact, I was reading one, I forget who it was, that was talking about they saw some premiere of it, and they said it was kind of almost disconcerting to see Bradley Cooper come out on stage, and his voice was up here. And this is the guy that had this deep voice. Yeah. How did he do that?
Yeah. Now it works in the movie, and it totally works when the two of them
when they're together.
The scenes with the two of them,
heartbreaking.
Oh my God! There's also a scene in the movie where I don't give anything away, but man. There's a scene that takes place at the Grammys where it's just it's just devastating.
And you feel the emotion and you feel the, oh, no.
I know. And then, you know, and there's also a scene because, you know, everybody knows the story. You know, there's there's a big star who discovers a person who's not a star. They go on the rise and the other one declines. That's we know the story. It's been done. What's the fourth time they've made a film of it? But so we all know where it's going, but there's a scene in the movie where as her star rises and his is falling, she basically kind of sells out. And you know, they have a manager who puts her on the pop diva circuit, and there's a scene in the movie where Bradley Cooper comes in and she's taking a bath, she's taking a bubble bath, and that scene between the two of them pretty much sums up what the whole movie is about, and they're both amazing in it. I mean, really brave and intimate, and just it's a really great movie, really great movie.
Wasn't she gorgeous pre-pop star when she was just this?
Because that's her natural hair color.
Natural hair color.
And the face, these big eyes.
The thing about about that, I saw her on...
with Colbert.
Colbert.
Oh. Yeah.
And you know, talking about how... That's how she looks in real life, but that's not what she, the character that she plays is nothing like what she is.
Right.
Because when she was banging on doors and saying, I'm Lady Gaga and my music is great and no one's going to stop me. Whereas, Allie in the movie is, you know, she's intimidated. People tell her nose is too big and she's not attractive. And that stifles her, you know, and Lady Gaga was like, that wasn't me at all. I had, I wore crazy wigs. I did what I wanted to do. And so
accents, pretending to be her own agent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Right.
Now, I would say that I have one criticism and I have not heard anybody else say this. And so go ahead and say I'm an old stick in the mud. I don't think the language had to be what it was. There was at one point I said, if I hear the F word one more time, I'm just going, my head's going.
Every scene.
I don't know people who talk like that.
This is showbiz people talk. Well, I'm sorry. We all know showbiz people. Yeah, some of them drop the F bomb every now and then, but it's not as heavily used as.
But when they're actually intimate with each other, they're talking like that. I'm like, really?
It didn't bother me at all.
I know.
Because I drop F-bomb. When I'm not on the air, I talk like a sailor.
I understand that. And
I have a separate question. You referenced this is the fourth remake.
Yeah.
It's actually the fifth.
No, the fourth version.
Technically, it's the fifth version of this story because there was I forget the title, but before it was called A Star Is Born, there was a...
In the 30s, and you'll never believe who it was based on. Chicago's own Colleen Moore and her then husband, who was a McCormick. Colleen Moore is the one that actually funded the Chicago Film Festival. She's the one.
But it's not called A Star Is Born.
No,
it's not the Star Is
Different
Born.
Different title, but it's the same where story.
Because the other one was in 1937, then there was 1952, and then 1976 in this one.
But my question is, how the heck does John Peters own the rights to A Star Is Born?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he purchased them because he produced the 1976 version. He was married to Barbara Streisand when that movie was made.
But what about the ones before that, also called A Star Is
Born? I don't know.
Did they go into public domain at some point? And he said, let me grab anything ever called A Star Is Born?
It's a deal that he made back in 1976 with Streisand.
And it was also the same, you know, it was the same studio, too, because Warner Brothers released the 1976 version. Warner Brothers released this version.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a connection with Warner Brothers, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I was... shocked to see his name on the credits too. I was like, John,
the hell?
Yeah, I know.
I thought he was dead.
No,
I did. Well, he hasn't done a whole lot. Come on.
No, he hasn't. He was her hairdresser, if you guys remember.
That's right.
Yeah. He was her hairdresser, marries Barbara Streisand.
That's
suddenly
right.
He's getting producer credits on movies.
Yeah.
He produced Caddyshack, for God's sake. That should be his claim to fame. He produced Caddyshack.
1932, What Price Hollywood.
What Price Hollywood.
And that was the basis.
You should look it up.
Same concept. And I was blown away. Michael Phillips did an article in Monday's Tribune.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Yeah.
And it's all about the fact that it was Colleen Moore's story. She went to Hollywood because her father did a favor for someone in Hollywood. And as a result of the favor, she got to go out there and they put her in movies. And she's the one with the dollhouse over at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ever knew her for. I didn't realize she was a up-and-coming star.
Wow.
And then the man that she married became an alcoholic and just went to nothing. He disintegrated. She went on and married three more times and then started the Chicago Film Festival.
All right. Wow. All right. Well, we'll check that out. What Price Hollywood is the name of it. All right. We're going to break. Steve, Johnny, hang on. We're going to come back after this with more. That's right. And then you get to hear my voice again.
Yay.
It's Nick DiGilio here, and the great Stephen Johnny are with us. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We got a few texts. And if you guys want to text in or call, say hi to Stephen Johnny. Well, you guys are going to end up hanging out all night. I don't care what anybody says. You know what? I did no show prep at all. Dan does all the show prep. I just show up. Because, as I've said before, if the show ever sounds really good, it's because of him.
So you really are following our format.
I just come in. Like I said before, Dan's the brains of the outfit. I'm just a monkey talking into a microphone. That's pretty much how it works. But Lupe and Highland said, great to hear Stephen Johnny. Miss you, too.
Oh, hi, Lupe.
Hey, Lupe.
They will be back on
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving from noon to 3. Thanksgiving.
Right. And then New Year's Eve. You guys are doing the big New Year's Eve cheap date thing. Stephen Indian Head Park says, thanks for playing Stephen Johnny's theme. I welled up just a bit.
Aww.
Hearing them is like being coming home again, and I wish them well.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
815 area code says, Johnny, when is that gluten-free cookbook coming?
You know, it's going to happen next year. I put it on the back burner because of our Les Paul book, and then life happened, and that kept us so busy.
Yeah.
The book is done. It just needs to be turned over to a proofreader, and there's a little tiny part of me that's afraid to put out the book, because if you look at recipes online, people are like, but why do I do this? I tried it, and it doesn't taste anything like you said it's supposed to taste. I can't come to your house and make it.
Right.
I can only give you the recipe and hope for the best.
Right.
So there's a part of me that's afraid to put out the book, but it's going to happen.
Okay. Well, that's good news, because people want that. Okay, you know, when we were talking about A Star Is Born.
Off the air, too.
Off the air, we were talking about it. And you wanted to... was your Star Is Born story?
My very first day as a professional broadcaster, literally the first day, it was in Aurora. The radio station kind of... it perceived itself as the WGN of the Fox Valley.
Okay.
And that was the whole concept. Dean Richards did 4 hours in the morning, and I did 4 hours in the afternoon. And we had a noon show, just like we did here.
Mm-hmm.
And my very first day, I was actually hired. I was told, we don't need to listen to your tape. You've got the show. We have to hire a woman. And I was great. Well, it was 1977.
Of course.
Okay?
Yes.
In fact, Sunday was my anniversary, my 41st anniversary going on there. My breathing is changing because it was so terrifying when I think of what happened. I loved Roy Leonard. I listened to his show all the time. I thought one day when I have a show, I'm going to do things like Roy does. So we had a music license, and so I'm going to play music. And my very first show, I'm going to play music from movies. So A Star Is Born had come out the year before. Evergreen was huge. I take in my album. I put it on the turntable. I cue it up. During a commercial break, I come out. And this is after I've introduced myself. And I didn't realize that I had queued up the song behind Evergreen. And the song behind it is Christofferson screaming, "Go to hell!
Oh, yeah.
Go to hell!" Yeah. I froze. And in the... I look up and the general manager's face is pressed against the glass and he's like, God, I don't know what to do. And I literally reach over to the turntable and I stop it. So it goes live on the air.
Oh,
and then I said, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm new at this. And then I had to throw myself on their mercy. And the wonderful thing was we had two phone lines. They started ringing and I went to them cold and people said, that's all right. Now it's all going to be good after this.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. October 7th, 1977.
Yeah. And that's the song. I'm trying to remember the name of the song. Something Nation.
I've blocked it out.
Damnation in for something.
And those are the very first words.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He screeches. It's so annoying.
Oh, yeah. Go to hell.
Hi. I'm new here. Yes, I'm responsible for kicking the man off the radio who just 3 days ago told you his wife was pregnant and now he was going to be out of work. Yes, I'm the one. Go to hell.
Yeah. You know what? Roy would have done the same thing.
I never got to tell him that story.
You didn't know? No, you didn't. Oh, that's too bad. He would have loved that story.
I know.
Roy would have loved that story. Yeah, that's funny. You know, you're like, you Roy Leonard, you know,
yes.
Obviously, you know, I can identify with that because I listened to Roy. You know, he was you know, like my mentor and my hero, and I wanted to be like him, and nobody can be like him.
I was I was so lucky, Nick. It, he had a relationship with a publisher here in town. He used to bring all the stars.
Publicist.
A publicist. He used to bring all the stars to his show, and mine was the only other show she would bring them to. She would put them in a limo and send them out to the Fox Valley. I had Leslie Nielsen for 4 hours.
Wow.
Just the Britt Eklund for 2 hours. Leonard Nimoy sat with me because once they got out there, they had no place else to go. So then we just had them out in the cornfield.
But didn't Lawrence Welk dance with you?
Lawrence Welk was brought out there, and I'm like, get him out of here, because during the breaks, the man is a little really touchy-feely.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. He wanted to dance with me.
Then that's all.
Yeah, that's what all those bubbles do for you, man.
He found out I played accordion. He was like, really? Let's dance. And I thought,
Wow.
This is not TV.
Wow. All right. Yeah, nobody's going to see us dance, Lawrence. Wow. Okay. You know, speaking of, I do want to mention this because it's on our website now. It's a podcast. Ro Khan yesterday had Ryan Gosling and Damien Chazelle, the director of First Man, which is getting incredible reviews. And I was telling Dan about this, that I would imagine, because it was yesterday on the show, I would imagine every woman in the office was gathered around the Skyline studio to look at Ryan Gosling.
But you know what? Bradley Cooper now bumps him in my book.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's like, Ryan who?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can understand that. I can totally understand that. But I'm really looking forward to First Man, and I hear it's great, and the way to see it, I'm told, is IMAX.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. All right, listen, we've been babbling here. We're going to break for the news. When we come back, a lot of stuff going on that we will touch upon.
We mastered babbling.
That's exactly right. All right, we'll take a break, and the news is up next.
Okay, go for it. G chord. See if I can remember all the clean lyrics.
Oh, wait, it's late night and it's AM radio.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
We're talking family.
If you hear someone knocking on your door, if you see something crawling across your kitchen floor, baby, it'll be me. And I'll be looking for you. Well, if you see someone hanging from a lamppost right, if you see someone heckin' out in the night, baby, it'll be me. And I'll be looking for you.
All right.
I'm gonna look on a mountain.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and that's our first Two for Tuesday. Have you ever heard Two for Tuesday? there's a special reason why we play that. I always say this, you guys. Steve and Johnny are here in the studio with me. That my show wouldn't exist without reverb. That's the only trick I've got.
Sing it. Reverb is your friend.
Yeah. In fact, on that musical cut, there was just a little bit of reverb, and that's what the guys were loving. They're like, "Ooh,
I love this. I love that because that was an AM radio a staple."
Yeah,
Larry Lujak, my God.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it would be like Animal Stories, and I remember because you know, growing up listening to AM radio, there was the jocks had the reverb on at all times. But we're doing Two for Tuesday. You know, the listeners pick the bumps.
Mm-hmm.
And so the theme on Tuesday is Two for Tuesday. So it's one artist, two songs. And that is, tell everybody who that is.
That is BR549 from an album we didn't know was going to come out. It's called the BR549, The Steve and Johnny Show. And it was recorded off the air on WGN back in the 90s. And it has a total of how many cuts? Total of 21
cuts. Yeah.
From two different appearances. It's interviews, it's performances by BR549.
That particular cut was funny because Steve had a little bet with the guys. I brought in a fruit jar that night and set it down, and I said to Steve, we're going to put money in every time they play a song because that's what they're used to down in Nashville.
Right.
And then at one point...
Well, Smilin' Jay, who is the bass player, big honking stand-up bass, and he was a Gene Vincent fan. I just happened to have got a new Gene Vincent CD that had him live on the Ed Sullivan Show.
And it was on your homeless disc jockey cart. Remember that cart that Steve used to put in?
So
he looked down and he sees it and he goes, oh, what's that? And he picks it up and you said?
I said, well, you guys are known for taking requests. I said, okay, if you can do the flip side of Whole Lotta Shakin', it'll be me, the Jerry Lee Lewis version. I said, I'll give you the CD. And the rest
and
was
that's
what
how
you
it worked.
Did.
That's
and
how
it right
happened. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. Wow. Very cool. All right. Well, we'll hear another song by them for Two for Tuesday. So you guys are keeping busy. For Halloween, you guys are going to be you're going to be down in Panama City.
Yeah, yeah. We're heading down to Panama City Beach this coming Sunday. And for the second year in a row, we're one of the radio stations that we consult with is a radio station in Panama City, Florida. And it's a WKGC. And
it's a public radio station.
We're going to be doing the second annual Halloween special. And one of the cool things about that is that it is, it's not syndicated. What's the other one?
Live stream?
No, it's a, I have a brain fade. Anyhow, there are stations around the country that pick it up. And,
because they're public stations.
Like there's a station in Michigan that also is carrying it in this area, so you might be able to hear it there. But it's basically it's a two-hour Halloween special. And
much like we did here. Mm-hmm. And we take all of our Halloween music in there. And we're also going to be interviewing people about their local haunted stories, yeah. Which is kind of fun.
That's cool. Are you guys familiar with My Friends for Halloween here?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is Count Fartula.
I know.
Yes.
Look into my eyes. Gotcha.
And then this is Fartenstein.
Trick or treat.
By the way, you know I'm on the Walk of Fame? I don't know if you know that.
Nick, I have to show you. The other day when you posted that picture, I'm showing you my Amazon app. I went to Amazon and I actually found one of those characters on a t-shirt for you.
Oh, really?
I did.
Oh.
I was on Amazon. I'm Googling farting Dracula.
Boy, when they suggest the items next time, it's going to be pretty interesting. This one, I just want to say again, every time I mention this, I want to thank Adam Phillips because Fartenstein died.
Fartenstein,
you're supposed to squeeze his finger or pull his finger. You squeeze his finger and then he farts. And I tried it and it didn't work. I've had these things for a bunch of years. And so Adam rewired him and added a button. And now he
that one rattled my bolts.
See? Now there's a witch that farts too, but I don't know if that one that I discovered these at the Jewels and Osco back in the days when I was still living in Andersonville, and they had their seasonal aisle out, you know, with all the Halloween stuff and all the stuff, and so I find these guys and I'm squeezing the fingers and I'm laughing like a 10-year-old because it's farting and it's funny, and I remember looking over because I was there for like 5 minutes pressing all the buttons and do all that stuff, looking over at the person who was working at the photo counter and has to put up with that stuff for like 9 hours a day, and she's just looking at me like, stop doing that, please. Yeah. Just stop.
So last week, and you don't know this was your Halloween present. I was going to put it in the suitcase and take it to Florida with us. I actually got you Groot dressed in a Halloween costume from the Jewels in Evanston.
In Evanston.
Yeah. It was up on a high shelf, and I actually climbed up on and reached up there and grabbed
Baby Groot or Big
it's
Groot?
Big Groot.
Big Groot. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you squeeze him, and he says things, too.
We may have to take it with us to Florida.
So this is what I tried to buy you on Amazon. This is the sound-activated prank farting witch. And when I clicked on
you got to love technology.
When I actually spent time, and then I clicked purchase, and currently unavailable.
Of course.
No!
Sold out.
Yes.
Everybody wants a farting witch. That's what they all want. So you guys are going to do... And by the way, speaking of Halloween... Mm-hmm. The Halloween poem. Tell everybody about that. It is available on our website, too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it was just put up.
It's on the front page.
Okay,
front page.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a poem that we did for years. It was sent to us. It was sent to me back when we were at WIND.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea who wrote it. And basically, you get a bunch of kids in a room, and you read them this poem. And as you're reading the poem... It's about this ghoul, this kid who's going to school to learn to be a ghoul, and you pass what are supposed to be body parts.
Right.
And Johnny has a whole listing of things that you're really using.
I'm evil, yeah.
Isn't it like the eyeballs are like peeled grapes?
Yes. And who knew that the skin of a kiwi feels exactly like a human ear because there's that little prickly hair?
Oh, wow. Right.
And when you're in the dark, oh, my gosh.
I haven't seen it. Did he use that that new Halloween picture of us?
I haven't seen that either. That Halloween picture of us where we did the poem live.
This is
live.
From the old Pumpkin Fest at Gobert's Pumpkin
sure.
Farm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not only did we do the poem live, but I was dressed as Dracula. Johnny was dressed
that's
as
the
Vampira.
Picture. That's the picture.
Okay.
That's, yeah, that's
and
the picture that's
up. I have this witch puppet. And we did a puppet show with the witch.
And she's a scary witch. She looks like Freddy Krueger and fully dressed. And so I played straight man to the witch.
Because,
you know, she had it's kind of like the old Kukla, Fran, and Ollie where.
And under the witch costume, the witch has striped bloomers. So I would constantly be, you know, she'd be lifting her dress.
Showing
and the kids would be laughing.
Yes.
But then we did the poem and we're passing various things.
Well, we had
and
a couple
this
hundred
is a
kids.
Dark room.
Yeah.
We were in a barn, and the kids are sitting on hay bales, and all of the adults had to stay outside, and so these two creepy adults are telling the story in the dark. Well, I was prepared for the kids that were going to be the ringers, the boys that, they've seen everything, so I took some chicken liver in a container.
And at the point where I read, and the next was a human liver. And Johnny passes this chicken liver.
Because the boys are going, oh, it's grapes. Ooh, it's candy corn. And they're ruining it for everybody else. So I said, all right. And I said, here, little boy. And I hand him, and they go, they start screaming, it's
they
real.
Freaked.
I just put a chicken liver in each one of their hands.
And that's enough to shut them up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
By the way, speaking of Halloween, one of the coolest Halloween things I've heard about recently. The current issue of Mad Magazine, a tribute to Sven Gulli.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had Rich on last week.
Yeah.
You know, to talk about his busiest time. I mean, this is like now he's just he's making insane appearances like everywhere. And he was kind enough to join us just this past week. And the Mad Magazine thing is so cool. It's so cool. And he's really excited about it. You know,
sure.
But yeah. And, you know, I mean, because I watch Sven every Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do too.
He showed a.
I don't think I'd ever seen that, The Return of the Vampire.
It's a very weird movie.
Where did that come from?
Well, as Rich told us about it, you know, he talked about it a little bit on the show, but that was not from Universal. That was from Columbia. And so they wanted it to be, you know, they got Bela Lugosi, and they wanted it to be a sequel to Dracula.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Universal said, no, we own the character rights. You can't do that. And so that's why it's called Return of the...
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called Return of the Vampire, and he's named Tesla in it, and he's got a werewolf sidekick in it, and it was a fun movie.
The weirdest werewolf sidekick,
very weird, man. And and then but like you know, Rich doing his thing, you know, in between the bits is always great, and he's really busy. He's got I mean, this time of year. It's just he's got event after event after event after event. I think it's this weekend he's going to be, if I'm not mistaken, on Saturday he's going to be at Fantasy Costume on Milwaukee, which he does every year. He did the mushroom parade in Berwyn.
Mm-hmm.
He just did that this past weekend. It's a lot of stuff's going on with Rich. But
we're
cool
going to have to talk to him again because he joined us last year on the Halloween special in Florida because he's seen down there too. He's seen all over the country.
Halloween night he'll be at the United Center.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Bulls game and they want Sven to host.
Oh, good.
So he's going to be there on Halloween night. He's going to appear on Bill and Wendy's show too on Halloween morning.
Yeah.
So maybe he can squeeze. What time you guys are on? From what time?
It's going to be, I think, from 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And also, he's hosting. Is it the 22nd or the 29th?
Yeah, I'll double check.
He and Jim are hosting Nightside. Here,
cool.
From eleven to one.
Cool.
So they're going to be my lead-in that night,
and so
he's. It's. And I think it's the first time that he's filled because he used to fill in at WGN like back in the '80s and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he said it was the first time that he's filled in like it'll be like maybe 25. Mm-hmm.
Well,
at least 25 years.
He didn't fill in, but he did New Year's Eve with us for many, many years. And we would go out on the street and he would stay in and man the studio while we went out on the street. And
it is the 29th, by the way. It's October 29th.
It's
a Thursday into, is it Wednesday into Thursday?
Monday into Tuesday.
Oh, geez. Okay. I wasn't even close.
it's one of those.
The Monday into Tuesday. Again, the brains of the outfit,
sure.
As I'm saying. Yeah, because no, Thursday, Halloween would be over.
That's right.
So, yeah, it would be useless for him to come in for that. But anyway, so he's doing that. So it's right. Always great to catch up with Rich.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for him for the Mad Magazine thing.
Oh,
he was
absolutely.
Really, really genuinely thrilled about it. He's such a great guy.
Yeah.
He's such a great guy. All right, you guys, why don't you hang on for a second, okay?
Okay?
We're going to come back and talk more. We got a bunch of texts that have come in. Listeners wanted to say something to Steve and Johnny. And we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200.
In the studio with us, sports of a different type, guys, just, to, you know, configure the studio, whatever you, knock down walls, do whatever you want to do, it's cool. You guys want to, I'll just noodle here and see if I can get something resembling a sound, and you guys just want to do something that you feel comfortable with? Too? Just go ahead and play one, whatever you want to do.
Right or wrong.
I knew you were going to do that.
I didn't know that.
You want to do right or wrong, Donnie?
Sure. One, two, three, four.
Two for Tuesday continues.
Yeah!
Two for Tuesday! And that's a little instrumental that those guys just... But they just...
Actually, it goes into a vocal.
Oh,
that was the beginning of
it.
That was the first song that they did with us. That was BR5-49. And we didn't know they were going to do this. This is a CD that has just come out within the past couple months. And it is available only through their Facebook page or on eBay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And that was our first Two for Tuesday of the morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. By the way, the word that you were, 870 stereo, simulcast is what you were looking
for.
Yes.
Yeah. 870 area code.
Yeah.
No, that happens.
I only do this for a living.
So it'll be simulcast. You may be here at simulcast in Michigan as well, because you guys are going to be on Halloween night, 8 to 10 p.m. on WKGC-FM. And that's in Panama City, Florida, for your second. You guys did the Halloween show last year, too.
And last election night, they had us in to. They had never done election coverage. So they said.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
They said, would you come in and help us out? So we did. And we sent reporters out to City Hall and all these different. And they're like, really? We have to go? Well, when it got to be 10 o'clock, they said, okay, we're going. We said, no, we don't go home now.
Part of the drill is you stay till everything is.
Absolutely.
They're on the phone going, but no, I have to work. No, you committed to being that you stay till the polling places close. And
so they've asked us to, because we're consulting with this radio station, and they said, well, would you come down and do the midterm election coverage with us? And we said, okay.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's a big night, man.
Yeah.
So it's 6:50 p.m. You'll be covering the midterm elections until they're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until they're done. And that could be a late night.
Yeah. It could be an interesting night.
It could be an interesting night.
Yep.
Things are really interesting right now in the in the current administration.
Things are kind of
surely you jest.
You know, it's just such a weird time. It's just so weird. Things are so weird right now. And I think we can all agree on that, no matter what side of the political world we are on. But I have to say that I think the current guys late night, except for Fallon and Corden, are doing a remarkable job. I think Colbert is killing it. I think John Oliver is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I love Trevor Noah.
Brilliant.
He's absolutely brilliant. And Seth Meyers. Those guys, that's where I watch those shows every morning when I get home, home from work, just to sort of like try to understand what's happening.
I have a different kind of appreciation for them because this isn't just, okay, let's come up with some jokes. This has to be topical every single day. And they're recording roughly, they tape those things at about 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Things, you know, but sometimes when they go on the air, you know, and the show
stuff
goes on the air, something crazy just happened.
Yeah.
And they got to cover that the next day.
Yeah.
There's another thing that it's a little bit easier for John Oliver. But John Oliver, his show is unique in that, you know, he'll cover some of the news stories from the week, but then he'll do, you know, his long set piece, which is like 23 minutes long, one topic. And he's able to really dive into it and really educate people in addition to making people laugh. But no, these guys are doing real smart work, you know what I mean? At a time, you know, when it's difficult. And But that's kind of how I get my nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
You're singing our song.
Well, that's one of the joys of we have found in the past few years is actually watching television in real time, because for 27 years,
we were never able to see anything in real time.
You know, we would come in here and play pieces from, and Dan knows this, American Idol. He would give us pieces to play and said, well, this was really big. And I go, really?
Oh, that sounds kind of cool. We're going to have to watch that when we go home.
Right. I do this. Well, you know, I'm in your boat right now. I don't watch a lot of stuff in real time. I do it, you know, like, I will force myself not to sleep if the Hawks are on. That's mm-hmm. one thing mm-hmm. I do. And I'm a dork because I refused to DVR Big Brother. I happen to love Big Brother. It's mm-hmm. one of my favorite shows. And I spent every summer, 3 nights a week watching that show. I'm such a dork. But I don't want to be like fool. I don't want to be, you know, like, I don't want to go on social, you know, media
and find out who got booted
and all that stuff. Yeah. It was a very, very funny story. I would mention quickly before we break for news. This involves my news guy, Vic Vaughn. One of my favorite reality shows of all time has always been Top Chef. I've watched every single season. I love it. I've had many of the chef mm-hmm. testants on my show. Last season, it was the big finale was on a Thursday night, and so I DVR'd it, and I'm here at work, and Vic's doing a news report, and he says, "And the winner of Top Chef,
yeah!
No!" So Vic ruined it for me. But he had, you know, it was a local story because the guy who won was from Chicago. Yes. So that's why, you know, that's why he had it in the news. And it was a newsworthy local story.
Not really. He just
wanted to kill him afterwards because now I knew who won. But the right person did win. So we had that going for us. All right. Hang on. Okay, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to hang out. Steve and Johnny are here if you want to jump in with a talk or text. We got a bunch of texts coming in. We'll read some of those. 312-981-7200. Steve and Johnny, very, very busy. And we'll continue to tell you what they're up to and where you can see them and hear them as well. All right, news is up next. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Hey, Bear, two for Tuesday. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago. And that was Alan in North Carolina requesting Linda Ronstadt, which means we get to hear another Linda Ronstadt song.
Okay, if I can jump in for a second, I don't know. Sometimes the universe is sending messages.
Yeah.
There have been at least two times over the past 7 days that Johnny and I have been talking about Linda Ronstadt. Then you play this now. And every time I hear a Linda Ronstadt song, I'm so sad for her.
Yeah.
She had one of the most beautiful voices. She literally could sing and did sing anything.
Yep.
Well, we talked about her after seeing A Star Is Born, because Gaga, a lot like Ronstadt, could sing anything.
Right.
You go to the standards, and they both did it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Linda Ronstadt, incredible. Alan, by the way, would frequently contribute to Stephen Johnny.
He did, yes.
Alan, and that's his request.
Hi, Alan.
We'll get to hear another Linda Ronstadt song.
Cool, good choice.
A bunch of texts here. People are happy that you're back on the show with us, as I am, too. 708 area code says, good to hear Stephen Johnny. Next time, bring Tommy Emmanuel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gladly.
815 area code says, in a funny coincidence, on Bill and Wendy yesterday morning, they had men from the Chicago Film Festival, and they talked about Colleen Moore and her involvement.
Okay.
Hmm. And 262 area code says, hello, Steve and Johnny. I miss you two so much. Miss all your many guests from Alaska to Milwaukee.
Hmm.
I know it's impossible to recapture what once were. However, hearing you two guys brings back the sweetness of you both.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
John says, did you guys know Elvis was supposed to be in A Star Is Born?
Yes. Yes.
She wanted Elvis. You know, but that's one of those things about, you know, at that time, Elvis, I mean, when they made A Star Is Born, he was in that Vegas phase.
Yeah.
And he was pretty out of shape at that point, but he would have had to have done a regimen.
Well, actually, if you think about if you look at the pictures from when he first met her, and there, I've seen a picture of the two of them backstage talking, and he was actually in good shape.
Oh, he was.
At that point, that was still the thin, good-looking Vegas Elvis.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because it did happen pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
His decline in how he looked and felt.
And I could never see him in that movie.
But I will say,
actually, I think he could have done it. If you look at, King Creole, probably the best movie he ever did.
I agree.
He had the potential to do that.
This is the one thing. Now, see, so he was offered A Star Is Born at first, but the movie that he was offered that I think would have changed the course of his career, and I think he would have lived longer, Midnight Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
He was offered Midnight Cowboy, and the colonel said, no, don't be doing any gay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so Elvis wanted to do it. And that was 68, you know, and that was, I mean, obviously he had the comeback special that year, which was, you know, amazing. But if he would have done, and he would have been good in Midnight Cowboy, I think he would have been really good as Joe Buck. There's no question about it. And I think it would have changed the course of his career. I really do.
It would have been devastating to his career, though, in the South. As a Southerner, I'm telling you, it would not have worked.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just keep, you know. I don't know. I just keep thinking, man, it would have been such a great thing to see him do that, you know?
And over the years, my attitude toward Elvis has kind of evolved. I still love his music, will always love his music. But there are times when I think he used the Colonel as an excuse. He loved being Elvis Presley.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably true. 815 area code says, I love you, Nick, but oh my God, I miss Steve and Johnny so much.
Thank you.
Listen to you two for years. Dan from Black Vinyl Monday says, Steve, thanks for the albums. I still have them and a whole lot more now. Thank you for always having a turntable in the studio. I'm celebrating 13 years of Black Vinyl Monday at the Green Room Bistro in Libertyville.
Cool.
He came and picked up a box of vinyl that we gave him.
In fact, one of the
I was going to leave you if you took it home.
One of the things that has been a little bit of an impact that we're glad we've had on the radio station we're consulting with in Florida, they now have a turntable, and every morning on their morning show, they play a vinyl cut.
They get real excited.
Oh,
they're like,
"Look, cool.
Yeah."
They cue up the right song, right, Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay.
I taught them well. I said, listen to it in cue before put it on.
Here's the thing. You know what we were talking about? It was a couple of weeks ago, Dan, right?
Yep.
We were talking about the records room over at GN.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
I spent so much time just walking up and down those aisles and looking at the records and turning those big handles so that the shelves would... For people who don't know, they had an amazing... I mean, you know, it was a talk station, obviously.
Yeah.
An amazing records room with albums and 45s and...
There was a room much like that, but it wasn't records, in an episode of Batman with Adam West, where Batman is looking at... Seriously, he's looking at some tchotchkes on his shelf, and somebody cranks the wall, and it closes in on him, and he's...
Oh, okay.
It's closed. Every time I would go in there, I'd flash to the Batman episode, and I think, this is so cool.
You're going
to
be crushed.
You're going to be crushed. And I thought, that's okay. If I got to go, this is not a bad way.
It was great, too, because, you know, we were really reminiscing about it because, we had, the card catalog. You have to look in the file.
System.
The Dewey Decimal, they had the card catalog.
I don't know if Dan ever told you. That was one of the things that caused us to hire him as a producer.
Yes.
Dan, do you remember when we said, how quick can you go back to the music library?
That was a requirement.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We would give a producer who was being interviewed the name of an album and say, go get it. And we would time him because you had to do it during a news break and get back so we could rack it up in time. and some of them would look and go, and then Dan was there and back when, okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's you.
We'll revisit the story that I told a couple weeks ago. I had never played a 45 before.
I remember that.
And Steve had to show me. We walked into Todd's old studio, and he's just like, what do you think you'd put in the middle to make this work? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, that thing right there.
It's an adapter.
And, all right, we're going to come full circle. Remember Mary June Rose? We all loved her, our program director.
Hey, she gave me my first show.
She did?
Yeah.
She's a big fan of yours and very active on Facebook.
Yeah.
For her, she's not listening now, so I can say this. For her,
and nobody tell her if
she's got a big birthday coming up. So I bought her a gold plated 45 adapter to help her adapt to this big birthday.
That's cool
because she is a vinyl freak. She actually has, she pays rent every month for storage of her vinyl that she goes and visits.
A temperature controlled storage facility.
Wow.
Yeah. She loves
and
her
music.
Had
her as our guest down in Florida for the past 2 years.
Vinyl, by the way, as you guys know, is bigger than ever.
Oh, vinyl is outselling CDs and most digital music forms these days.
And all the major artists release their stuff on vinyl now.
Yep.
And we were talking about the late night shows. whenever the late night shows have a musical guest on, they hold up an album again. And I'm like, yes!
Yeah, because the host can read the liner notes. They're like, yeah, I don't have to put my glasses on.
Exactly, exactly. But the other thing about the music, the records room across the river there was when a jerk would not put a record back. I'd be furious. So furious. And then, like, you go there, you get the card, you got the number, you find, and then it's not there. Like, what the hell?
Now,
the single most frustrating thing.
I know.
When we were going to play a Beatles thing, somebody had gone through the Beatles albums and scratched them.
Keyed them.
I'm serious.
Yes, put them back in the rack. And we said, whoa, that is weird.
I have no idea who or why.
Yes.
So
these were the original Beatles albums, you know, because the station got them when they were sent, when they were first released.
That's insane.
And they were put in the rack. And
that's when I started bringing in more CDs.
Yeah.
But it used to bring in albums. We had a book bag that we would bring albums in with us. When we started at the radio station, we had a music director.
Yeah.
And you couldn't work a turntable unless the music director was in there to start the turntable for you, which was pretty amazing. And remember, we played a song every New Year's Day when we were on the radio. Mm-hmm. We played a Jim Backus song.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah.
And it was...
Where he progressively gets more
drunker.
And more
drunk. Great. Yeah, I love that thing. Yeah.
And so one New Year's Eve, we go in, we pull the 45, and it was scratched all over because someone did not want us to play this drinking Jim Backus on the radio.
Jim Backus, man.
That's one of the reasons that I learned how to bring up YouTube music audio through the control board.
Yeah.
To do searches for stuff like that.
Right.
So, okay, you're going to scratch it. Well, here we go.
That's what Dan does now.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what everybody, I think, does now. But when we have Fly James Friday and stuff like that, and you know, like the Linda Ronstadt thing, he probably found that online, and he's playing it up through his board at the computer and the board. It's funny, though, because sometimes we have a little glitches because, you know, computers freeze up.
No.
But that's so weird about the Beatles.
It was spooky. You know,
what's really funny is Bob. Who ran the turntable for Bob?
John Tandelli.
John Tandelli, of course. Sorry. God, I can't believe I blanked on his name. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he always would cue up stuff for him. And Bob would play music every once in a while on the show.
Especially on Fridays.
And I remember one of my favorite pieces of audio of Uncle Bobby. Was you know, we used to do this game on the show. Man, Dan, we should bring this back. We used to do this. Andy and I used to do this game called Take It to the Post.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Where we would have callers call in.
Yeah. Yep.
We would play the beginning of a song, and then they would have to take it to the post. Taking it to the post means you fill in with your temperatures or your lakefront temperatures or blah, 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 sports scores until the vocals start. And you have to stop right when the vocals start.
You have to kiss it.
Yes, kiss it, and that's taking it to the post.
Mm-hmm.
One of the harder ones to do is Get Down Tonight, because that's a long
interview.
You've got a time to read the phone book, to do the weather forecast, to
your promos,
to list everybody who's ever worked at the radio station.
Right. Well, one of my favorites ever, a piece of audio of Uncle Bobby, was I can't remember what Beatles song it was, but he was playing a Beatles song, and he's not talking at all. The intro's going, intro's going, intro's going. Right before the lyrics start, he goes, Beatles! And that was it. It was the best take it to the post I've ever. It killed me every time I heard it.
Mm.
And I wish I could remember what song it was. I think it was back in the USSR. I'm not sure. But like the intro's going, Beatles! And then the song. And then,
well,
that was the greatest.
He was a drummer. So he would immediately get into the beat of the song.
Yeah.
And I would be working with him once or twice when he would step on the post and he'd say, hey, stop it, stop it. We got to do this again. You know, I'm a professional disc jockey. I cannot step on the...
It's still the greatest take it to the post ever. Beatles!
I love that.
414 area code says, one of my biggest regrets is missing Steve and Johnny when they came to Milwaukee for Les Paul's celebration at the Art Museum.
Oh,
that was fun.
I'd love it if they did another public event where I could meet them.
We are...
We're going to be, matter of fact, this won't be till, January.
January 12th is what I got.
And we're going to be doing an appearance book signing at the Elmhurst Public Library at 125 South Prospect Avenue in Elmhurst. That'll be at 2:30. It's a Saturday afternoon. And we'll probably be adding some other appearances.
And
but
we might mention that if you have a local library, and we haven't come to your library yet because we've done quite a few. I think we've done about 24, 25 of them so far. We love doing speaking events at libraries. They treat and, you know, great. They promote it. You walk in, you set up, you talk, and they have a crowd there. You answer questions.
And we should never assume that everybody knows what the heck we're appearing in a library for. And if you don't know,
tell everybody about a book, about the book.
It's the book is called A Little More Less. And we were fortunate to have a friendship with Les Paul. And this is a book we put out a couple of years ago, and it's all about Les, and there's some behind-the-scenes stories and photos. And
it's very WGN-centric.
Yeah, extremely. I mean,
very, very cool. It's a great book, you guys.
Thank
congratulations
you.
On all the success. So mark your calendars, everybody. Go out to the Elmhurst Public Library on Saturday, January 12th, 2:30 p.m. for a book signing. You can meet Steve and Johnny. It's always fun to meet the listeners and the
oh,
people.
Oh, it is.
Yep.
Oh, great. They're great.
I always have a lot of fun because I do a monthly film club thing where I host a screening of a movie.
We got to come out to one.
Come out. You know, the next one is our Burt Reynolds tribute. We're doing The Longest Yard.
I love
Longest
that movie.
Yard. One of the best.
When's that going to be?
November 13th. Because the first.
We're going to be in Florida.
Because the first Tuesday of November, we usually do the first Tuesday, that's election night. So we're not going to turn screening that night.
Good.
So anyway, hey, let's break. All right. Let's take a break and we'll come back and talk more with Steve and Johnny. If you guys want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Lots more to talk about. They're very, very busy, as you can tell. And we'll get more details on what's coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. That's Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man. Two for Tuesday. And that's Linda Ronstadt, Allen in North Carolina, Tumbling Dice. And we're with Steve and Johnny.
What was that great Linda Ronstadt album cover where she's sitting on the hay and the...
With the cowboy boots and and the Daisy Dukes.
I can't remember the name of it. Yeah.
You guys probably never got as far as the title.
No, yeah, probably didn't.
Did that album have a title?
She was amazing.
Was there actually music on that album?
Amazing.
Yeah. I just also... One of the other things about... that I always, you know, associate with Linda Ronstadt, with Jerry Brown, when she had the relationship with Governor Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown, who, when I was doing traffic on the Bob Collins show, he came in to do Bob's show. And I'm sitting at that point, I had to sit in the showcase studio.
Right,
in
by the map.
Yeah.
That was when he was running for president.
And he was running for president, and he walks in, and I looked up, and I said, hello, Mr. Brown. And he said, hello. And he reaches down, and he takes my clipboard and my pen. He said, just consider it for the cause. And he walked away. And I'm like, what? You just took my...
The hell?
If it had been television, I'm literally like, huh?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to do this. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's coming up at 3 o'clock. So more texts here from folks.
I love text.
Are you ready? Are you ready for that? Yeah. Well, listen. You know, texting and social media and all that stuff has changed talk radio.
Absolutely,
and for the better. I think sometimes social media not so much, but like the texting stuff because people, you know, if they can't call, they can text in, and more people are contributing to the show because of it. Okay. Here I have to do. I'm gonna have to get ready for a rim shot here. Ready?
Okay.
Shouldn't Count Farcula actually be on WIND instead of WGN? See, because it's wind. Wind.
I think there's a lot of that over there.
Break wind.
Yeah.
Wally says, Nick and Steve and Johnny? I'm listening to you while I am at work in Mannheim, Germany.
Wow.
I'm 7 hours ahead of Chicago. Great to hear you, and keep in touch with Chicago while I am traveling.
Nice.
Speaking of traveling.
Yeah.
You know Patrick Crispin?
Of course.
From Website Wednesday Night. Take a wild guess where Patrick Crispin is.
Where is Patrick
right now?
Is he with Dora? No, I don't know.
He is in Mongolia.
Why is he in Mongolia?
He is gone over there to set up this big computer
because he's a head of computer department at the university USC, and so they have a sister institution
in Mongolia
they flew him over to set up their whole computer system.
Wow
So yesterday he was climbing in the statue of Genghis Khan, And as he pointed out, he said, you know what? In the States, we don't do statues right, because it, here, you can climb in the horse and climb out.
It is Genghis Khan sitting on his horse.
Yeah.
And you climb out his crotch and climb onto the head of the horse. And he said, everybody does it to get their picture
taken. By the way, I just want you guys to know that you're going to be on my Friday show then. That comment right there, I guarantee you we'll make out of context on Friday.
What else is new? Yeah. I gave you a lot of fodder.
Oh, I know. Anytime you guys make an appearance, I'm like, yeah, Johnny. He climbed out of his crotch. Okay.
Now, Patrick is 6'6". We were terrified.
It's got to be a big crotch.
And he would be stuck.
Stuck in his crotch.
As he was traveling to Mongolia, he had an 11-hour stop in Beijing,
yes.
And he posted on Facebook that he was going to sample the local cuisine for breakfast, and he had a picture of something like O'Reilly's where he was in Beijing.
Yeah.
You got to try the local favorites.
Yeah.
Brian says, I just wanted to say hi. I'm listening to you on the way to Saginaw, Michigan. That's Brian. 847 area code says, I want to thank Steve and Johnny for turning me on to Sabatino's, which is closing at the end of the year.
Unfortunately. Oh,
let's have a party there in December.
Yeah, we should do that.
I mean, I live three blocks away, so.
You can walk.
I could walk.
You don't need a ride.
Should we try to book something and go to Sabatino's?
I would love to go to Sabatino's one last time.
Let's do it.
I love that place.
We sent Dan and Eileen there, remember?
Of course, for our anniversary.
Yeah, we put them up in the cozy booth.
Yeah. That place is great. Old school.
Love it.
Yeah, I was really sad to hear that they were closing. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's stupid. I've only been there a few times. I've lived where I lived, as mm-hmm. we mentioned before, uh-huh. for 7 years. I should have gone to Sabatino's a lot more often than I did while I live now.
You should be going there every night before they close.
Exactly. Trucker Rich says, hearing the Steve and Johnny theme gave me a flashback. In 1991, I was coming back from serving overseas in a military cargo plane. As we approached the airport, we put on WGN radio on the loudspeakers, and we heard Steve and Johnny's theme, and we knew we were home.
Oh, golly.
There you go.
How many Christmases did we hear from military?
Oh, boy.
Because when the Gulf War broke out.
You talk about.
Which one?
Well, the first one.
You talk about the internet changing things. When we would get texts from
Iraq,
yeah. and that they'd be listening to us and requesting Christmas songs.
Yeah.
And you don't play I'll Be Home for Christmas.
They were on a ship and they couldn't tell us where they were for security reasons,
sure.
but they kept requesting Christmas songs.
And we were adopted by the 101st Airborne because they listened every morning. They would wake up with the time difference, and so they would listen to us in the mess hall. And so they actually had an Iraqi...
We have the flag that they made.
Seamstress made an Iraqi flag, 101st Airborne, and Steve and Johnny embroidered
on
it. Oh, wow. It was beautiful.
It's amazing, you know, especially in this time slot, the amount of people that you reach. I'm never.
We don't even realize.
Yep. No, I know. It's beyond humbling, you know, to know where people are listening. And I also, as we've talked about many times, this is a real important time slot, I think, because it's an intimate time slot.
Yep.
And the people that are listening, sometimes they can't sleep. Sometimes they're sad. Sometimes they're lonely. Yeah. Sometimes they're sick. And it's important I think this is a really important shift, mm-hmm. and I don't take it lightly. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Going out and doing appearances as we have, I can't tell you the number of people that we've met and they've said, you were there with me when I sat with my mother or father as they were dying.
I get that a lot too.
So many times.
It's important.
I have to sit up all night long and, you know, you were there with me at home.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you ever have people come up to you and they will tell you things about your life that you forgot and they're right?
All the time. Guys, hang out a second, okay? All right, Steve and Johnny are here and we're hanging out. We've got more to talk about with them, and the news is up right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and that's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. That's the 773 area code requesting Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine with Conga. We are back. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and my main man Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Steve and Johnny are with me, and if you guys want to jump in and say hi or text them, it's 312-981-7200.
I always thought it was a shame that Gloria Estefan and Karen Carpenter never got the chance to record together. Two of the most beautiful voices.
Voices of Karen Carpenter, voice of an angel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Voice of an angel. And She played drums.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is cool.
And she didn't do vocal gymnastics.
No.
She just sang.
No, she's one of the most beautiful voices ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. So let's see. Now, I want to remind everybody that you guys are going to be doing your Halloween show again mm-hmm. at WKGC-FM, and that's in Panama City, Florida, from 8 to 10 p.m., and it will be simulcast in other stations as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also be posting links where you can tune into the live stream.
Right. Mm-hmm. There you go. And also, you guys are covering election night at the same radio station in Panama City, Florida, and that's going to be an interesting night.
Yeah.
And it all starts at 6:50, and it ends when it ends.
And then we'll be back here on Thanksgiving Day from noon until 3. And also, we're going to be doing our, it was 24 years ago that we did our first New Year's Eve show. And we're going to be doing that again from the, we'll be looking down on the fireworks.
That's
for a
right.
change.
You'll be looking down on the fireworks. And you know what? You guys should probably, on New Year's Eve, do the show in A mm-hmm. instead of here.
We think we might, yeah.
Because that, the view is Navy Pier.
Yeah.
So, like, you can look out and see all the fireworks and stuff. And then there's also, like, you guys are going to have probably live music, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a performance space over there. It's a really nice setup in A.
But I understand that it's a weird thing to see fireworks from that perspective because it's silent. So when you go, oh,
yeah.
I'm the only one that's reacting. You know?
It's weird because I've been here during thunderstorms and stuff mm-hmm. up here in the studio, and just I see the sky light up.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And it freaks me out, but I see the sky light up, and I'm not a big heights guy, so I try not to stand near the window or anything. I mean, we're 18 stories up, and that's pretty high, and I'm not a big heights guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing like lightning light up the sky, mm-hmm. I'm like,
And you're in a glass box.
Yeah, I am. I'm in a glass box of emotion, as they say in Anchorman. So that you guys have 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. on New Year's Eve. And that's the Cheap Date Life After Dark New Year's Eve extravaganza right here on this radio station. And you guys will be on Thanksgiving, which is mm-hmm. the 22nd this year, which mm-hmm. is November
so
22nd.
Early.
It is early.
But if you're in retail, you're happy because you get that extra week to shop.
That's right. Hey, Dan, has your birthday ever fallen on...
No, it is always either the latest it is the day before.
Yeah.
Because of the way it configures. So I've never had a Thanksgiving birthday. It's either the day before or the days preceding.
Got it. Okay. All right. 22nd this year for Thanksgiving. So you guys will be on the air. That's great. And more texts here. Megan says, hi, Steve and Johnny. It's great to hear you. Years ago, when you did questions during the overnight, I texted my answer and it was right. I lived in St. Louis and you guys joked by texting back as if I ever make it up here to Chicago that you'll give me a prize. I had no connection to Chicago at the time. Flash forward, I now live here. I always think about that and how random it was that I moved to Chicago where my mom had moved. Overnights have always been the best on WGN because of you guys or Nick.
So we owe her a prize?
I guess.
It sounds like we owe her a prize.
She's just checking in, you
that's,
know?
That's the reason why she wrote. She's been waiting all this time. All this time.
She even moved here.
I want
it's
some
all about priorities,
right.
Nick.
I want Lumel Nottis now. David says, I'm a hospice nurse and have been for 20 years, and I can second those thoughts about listening to you guys as I made calls and visits to various patients and families who were often listening to you guys.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
So, thanks very much.
And nursing mothers.
Yes.
How many
yes.
times?
Yes, yes, yes.
In
yes.
fact, just the other day I heard from a listener who said, I met you in South Holland when you were there for a Christmas tree unveiling, yeah. and she said, you held my baby, who is just graduated from college. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, she said, remember, I named her Johnny.
Wow.
She actually mm-hmm. named her baby, spelled it the same way. And I was like,
that's when we
wow.
had the WGN Christmas tree.
Yes, wow. yes. And we auctioned off a tree that we decorated, and the decorations were all mm-hmm. GN-centric.
Yes, I remember that.
We sold it. Well, we auctioned it off for $1,500.
Yeah.
And a woman in Lincolnwood got the tree, and mm-hmm. she was obviously a huge fan.
Clearly.
And the money, as I recall, went to the Neediest Kids
Neediest
Fund.
Kids Fund,
that's
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so how long were you guys at Bradley Place?
Let's see. For
two years?
If I started on Christmas
Eve
of 84.
The year we got married.
And we moved down to the Tribune Tower in 86?
86.
Mm-hmm. 86
so, yeah. Okay, so. Yeah, so 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I started Valentine's Day of 85.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started with Roy, like officially on his show reviewing movies, it mm-hmm. was still at Bradley, mm-hmm. and it was 85. It was May of 85.
Right.
And then, you know, moving over to the facilities in the Tribune building. You know, I got to say, I really love the Tribune building, but I'm really...
I know what you're going
to
say.
But I really love this new facility here.
Yeah.
You know, Tribune building, historic building, was great to work there. And but I got to say, I got an office. It's the first time I've had an office.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on this radio station for 33 years. It's the first time I've had an office since we moved here.
Yeah, but nighttime people don't need an office.
No, it's right. Yeah.
You take everything home with you.
Yeah, exactly. But this is just really, I love, everything is new and nice.
Well, we went through that, though, when we moved from Bradley Place.
Oh, I bet,
over
yeah.
to the Tribune. Yeah. We were like, wow. It was kind of cool being in the same building with Bozo because he was still on the air.
Yep.
We had a cafeteria with cafeteria ladies.
Right.
And we had cliques where the TV people sat in that corner and the radio people, you know, the peon set over in this corner and the engineers. Yep. And so that was kind of cool. And we got to the Tribune and we're like, okay, we're now the bastard children of the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Over there, we were the bastard children of the television station.
Right, 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 right. But no, I mean, the offices were set up across the river pretty interestingly. I thought it was laid out pretty well.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think that the first incarnation of the Showcase Studio was
hideous.
Yeah, okay. It was all for
show, and it was a lousy
and
studio.
We had that light wall that generated heat.
It was so hot.
You'd be on the air and sweat's dripping off you, and it's snowing outside.
Well, the combination of the light wall and that big traffic wall.
Yeah.
There was so much heat coming out of
it.
Oh.
And the hosts were up like on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the guests were down below them.
As it should be.
And traffic and weather, we peons had to sit at the feet of the host.
Right.
Like looking up, going, may I go on, please, sir?
Yeah. I remember when they redesigned it, and Kathy and Judy were the first ones to do a show from the redesign. And, and I remember going, okay, now...
Mm-hmm.
Now you got it right. Now it's all good. But I used a combo anyway.
But the first incarnation of that studio at that time with that light wall and the light map, which was hooked up to the sensors in the highway, the only thing of its kind, you could walk up and you could see the traffic on the road, which was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was, at that time, the most expensive wall in the city of Chicago.
And is that right?
That room...
How much did that wall, just that wall, cost?
That wall was $60,000.
Oh, my God!
That room was second in cost to the chief operating room at Northwestern Hospital.
No!
Second,
yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And it was never appreciated. But see,
some people will remember, you used to be able to walk up outside the Showcase studio. Mm-hmm. You could look at that wall, and you would see a real-time traffic layout of
how bad
it was.
Before I came on in traffic, no traffic was ever done in-house. Mm-hmm. It was always done outside. So I was hired to bring traffic into the building.
Right.
And at that time... nobody sat at a traffic desk and gathered information because they always had two police officers.
It was literally a closet. I mean,
when I was at Bradley
if you
Place.
Think like the traffic room here is small, no. It's palatial compared to what the original traffic closet was.
Is that right?
I had file cabinets in there, and people would come in and go through files, and I'm in my office.
Yeah.
But they said, don't worry, you know, it's your job now to, and again, much like when I started in radio in 77, it was my job to tell the men who'd been doing this forever, you're not doing it this way anymore.
Right. Oh, you know what? I just remembered the name of the song. It's Hellacious Acres. That's the name of the song that you queued up wrong.
Oh, it is.
I was trying to remember. Hellacious Acres. Hellacious Acres. That's what just came to me.
Oh, my gosh. I literally blacked it out. You see my face? I'm like, whoa.
It's Hellacious Acres.
Behind
that's the,
Evergreen
that's the
on the Stars.
That's
born.
The...
Thank you.
That's it.
Now I've got a little PTSD going on.
Right.
Thanks. My heart's racing. My palms are sweating.
Wow. Hey. It was so... Yeah. Now, you know... since when we moved over here, it was I will say this, like the transition to moving over here was interesting.
Yes.
Because like we would have to do like show prep here and then go back, or like if we were, you know, sometimes we record interviews
and then go over there.
We would have to do that here, and then Dan and I, it was a 10-minute walk back to the Tribune building, and we did that for what, about 3 weeks, Dan?
Yeah, about that.
Something about that.
And honestly, the most walk that radio people did was from the parking lot.
Right.
Right.
We're like, oh, I have to walk from the parking lot. Oh.
But also, kudos to the WGN Radio Engineering Department.
Oh, man.
Because other than people talking about what was going on the air, you couldn't tell it.
Yeah.
It was a seamless audio transition.
It really was.
No, they did a great job. They did a great job. Vic was the first guy to broadcast from here.
Yeah.
He was the very first guy to broadcast from here. And I was the last person to broadcast from the Showcase Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And there were actually, it was funny because there were people like I was the last person. I said goodbye from the
We've still got that recorded.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we had people outside taking pictures and filming and stuff during it. And I because I knew that we were going to take pictures and mm-hmm. things like that. So I purposely for the last broadcast that we would do from the tribute, I wore my Sven Gulli t-shirt.
Oh yes,
just as a little tribute. And then Sven and then Rich, because I posted some pictures and stuff online. In a video, because I did a video, the final moments on the air, I did a video of with my phone. And so Rich left a comment on my, when I posted it, he left a comment. I'm just thinking, when I leave CIU, I'll make sure I wear a Nick DiGilio t-shirt. So, all right, hang on, guys, all right?
Okay.
Steve and Johnny are with us, and if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-721. And we got some news about Steve's brother that we need to talk about as well, and much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, so if you want to join us for talk or text. Two for Tuesday, yeah! 773 Erica, Gloria Estefan, the Miami Sound Machine. They requested that. That's Rhythm's Gonna Get You. And Steve and Johnny are here. And they're gonna get you.
That's right. We're going to get you.
Let me see if I can get the reverb here for you so that we know which button to press.
Let's try this one, shall we? Hang on. Let's see what happens now.
Okay.
Baby. Yeah, baby.
There it is. Okay, so I'll tell you what button to push.
Okay, because Nick was nice enough during the last newscast to kind of go over some things with us because we're probably going to be broadcasting from this studio on Thanksgiving, and since we're literally going to be coming back from Florida the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving, we won't have time to come in and get refamiliarized with the studio. So.
Right.
So we'll be real turkeys on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, I always take that week off. Thanksgiving.
That's
week.
Right.
I take that week off.
Because you make the turkey, the dressing.
The week between Christmas and New Year's, I always take off. Those are the two. That and the week after a Flashback Horror Convention, because I need the week off after that, because it's insane.
And for 35 years that we've been together, we've worked all the holidays, because back when we were dating, so actually it's more like 36 years, we were dating at the other radio station, they would say to us, well, you guys can work because you're together. Everybody else wants to be with their family. They literally said
that to us.
Said
that.
So they really did.
So you could work 6 hours on, and then Stephen come in behind you, but stay together.
I spent I spent a lot of years working holidays here.
Sure.
A lot of years, which is why I take the holidays off now. Because when I worked weekends, I would fill in, I was like the regular fill-in for you guys for years.
Sure.
And when I finally got the weeknight gig, I was like, I'm not working. I'm not working on holidays anymore. I've done that now for many, many years. So more texts here. And let's see.
We knew you before you wore spectacles.
Well, yeah, these are cheaters.
Uh-huh.
You know the story, right, about when I got them?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in the Showcase studio. It was a Saturday night, and Andy Herman was my producer. And Andy Herman, I would always, ask Andy to bump up the font for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it got to the point where it was like he would be, bumping up the font, and I would look at the copy that I'd have to read, and I'd have to pull it all the way down. Mm-hmm. I always said there's nothing wrong with my eyes. My arms are too short. That's
absolutely
the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to the point where I was like, hey, can you make the font a little bit bigger? And Andy just was standing there looking at me deadpan. Didn't say a word. Pointed to the Walgreens across the street. Took a beat and said, go across the street right now and get a pair of cheaters. And I'm like, all right. Because I kept denying it.
Well, one of your regular guests, Tom Appel, was
similar
sitting
story
in studio with us. And I always kept a selection of glasses for guests. I had ones,
I remember,
1.5 and twos in front of me.
Yep.
And Tom's sitting there and he's squinting. And I just passed a pair of glasses. Goes, no, I don't need those. And I just put them on. He still carries them. The same ones he's still wearing.
Yep. These are the same ones that I purchased for. I bought two of them, one for home, one for here. I keep one pair here and one pair at
home. Wild man.
Yeah, I'm nuts, man. I live a crazy life. Sit on the couch, watch Top Chef with my readers on. I know how to party. Jim says, if I remember correctly, Steve and Johnny interviewed Waylon Jennings. Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
And by any chance, is that audio available anywhere?
Oh, my gosh.
That's one of the things we have to dig up.
You had Waylon Jennings in studio?
Oh, yeah.
Down from his hotel by himself and left his hotel key in our studio.
Oh, no.
And he had to walk back to get his hotel key. He had a baseball cap on, and I'll never forget that night because he told us one of the most emotional stories. He had just finished a gig, comes out of the gig, gets on his bus. He's sitting there. This kid walks up on the bus, gets on, walks back, says, I'm J.P. Richardson's son. Can you tell me about my dad?
Oh, man.
The Big Bopper's son.
Because for people who don't know, Waylon Jennings was Buddy Holly's bass player on the last concert that Buddy Holly ever did.
And remember, Dick Sutliff was our newsman, and Dick was a huge country fan.
Yeah.
And Dick got to tell Waylon Jennings this story. Now, this is the honest to God truth. Dick was driving down the Kennedy Expressway, and he was playing a Waylon Jennings tune, and he had it up to the
Good-Hearted Woman.
And he was pounding on his steering wheel to Good-Hearted Woman, and the steering wheel came off. The steering wheel came off.
We were fortunate.
I'm sorry, but I'm picturing Dick.
Yeah.
Banging on the steering wheel.
Yep. The Good-Hearted Woman.
That is hilarious.
But wait, can you imagine like a cartoon? You hold the steering wheel and you're like, what?
I can't. Well, what's extra special about this is that it was Dick. That's the thing.
The curmudgeon.
Oh my God, that guy.
He wrote the book on curmudgeon.
Oh, Dick Sutliff. Man,
well,
man.
We used to call him that on the
radio. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. No, he would cop to it. He would totally cop to
it. He loved it.
He wallowed in his curmudgeon.
Is that funny?
But we were fortunate enough to become good friends with Waylon Jennings.
Not name dropping or anything, but we spent a lot of time on his bus.
Well, we did. And he was, at that time, his wife was Jessie Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple months after he'd been in studio with us, he was touring with the Highwaymen. With Willie and Johnny Cash and Chris Christopherson. And they were playing out in Joliet, and he invited us out there. So we went out there.
Oh, man.
Saw the concert. After the concert, he said, come on back to my bus. We went on his bus, and at that time, there was about a, how old was he?
He was about 12 years old. Shooter Jennings.
Shooter Jennings.
Oh, yeah.
Was sitting there
who
doing
is now
his homework.
Doing pretty well on his own.
Sure.
Yeah.
But Waylon
but
was just
was
such a
was,
sweet man.
Can I get on Chris Christopherson's
Did
bus?
You ever hear Waylon's song, Nobody Knows I'm Elvis?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, it's a great
is it?
Song.
Yeah.
Now, Waylon Jennings was the man. There's no question about it. Yeah, I would have killed to see the Highwaymen. That must have been amazing.
Oh, it was.
Somewhere we've got a picture of but this was pre-digital. So we have literally boxes of pictures we're
Polaroid.
Going through.
Yeah. And remember, I said to Waylon, I said, in my next lifetime, if I have anything to do with it, I will come back with your voice. And it was like silence. And he looked at me, he said, honey, that's not computing. But
that's
I just
great.
Loved his voice.
Yeah, you guys did. You interviewed him. And there's audio everywhere of you guys.
Yeah.
So, all right, you guys hang on, okay?
Okay.
We have to break for the news. Steve and Johnny are hanging out. We found the reverb, and everything is good. So we're going to take a break. The news is coming up next here on 720 WGN. Again, if you want to join us via talk or text, hang on. We got some people on the line. Hang on, everybody. 312-981-7200. News is up. Two for Tuesday continues. And I'm happy to hear another Stevie Wonder song after this. 773 area code requesting Stevie Wonder with My Cherie Amour.
1969.
No, it's a great song. Great song.
Right.
It's so many great songs. Mm-hmm. Stevie Wonder, my God. All right, Steve and Johnny are here. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Are you sleepy yet?
No. You go to bed about 6:30 in the morning. So. So
you guys still have the late.
No, I'm normal.
No, you're normal.
We'll try to crash. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I was thinking, all right, one beat, two beat.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
But sometimes we'll try to crash about 11 or midnight. And if I'm lucky, I can sleep for about an hour and a half. Johnny sleeps the whole night through. Then I might as well get up and start working on guitar, recording stuff, or computer, or whatever, because I will be up until about 6 or 7 in the morning.
It's weekends are weird for me because I'm just sort of used to it. And but I end up being up pretty late, like I'll get up early on a Saturday, and then I usually hang out with my folks, mm-hmm. and we see a movie, and then I'll come home and just, like, chill out on the on the couch and stuff. But I'm inevitably up really, really late.
But thank God for the Hallmark Channel, because if I'm up in the wee hours of the morning, Frasier reruns, I'm there.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Till 3 in the morning, then I think they segue to Cheers.
But you listen to the radio with headphones on.
Yeah.
And yeah.
If he's not listening to the radio, he listens to CDs trying to go back to sleep. So now I've gotten accustomed to the white noise of the...
Well, I see. Yeah.
And if it stops, I'm like, oh, what happened?
He's asleep. Yeah, oh, now no. I'm awake.
Yeah. Is he breathing?
We got a call here. It's from Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning. It's nice to hear Steve and Johnny again.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah. I've called you before. I have 45 Steve cut way back in the, around 62 or so.
Yeah.
Well, you were with Richie Marks. You were starting to try, I guess, get out on the records and that. Didn't make it. But when I found you guys on radio, I enjoyed it so much.
Well, what's the name? What's the name of the 45?
The one side was Strange Love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was, I recorded that for Limelight, which was a subsidiary of Mercury. And playing on that, Pete Cetera from Chicago played bass on that.
Wow.
Marty Greb, who also went on to be with Chicago, was playing sax. He was also with the Buckinghams. Cal David from the fabulous Rhinestones and the Illinois Speed Press. And Cal is alive and well and doing blues out in Palm Springs. And drummer was Freddie Page. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody.
From Chicago.
Yeah, everybody from Chicago. Yeah. In fact, Freddie Page is the drummer that Chicago wrote the song Take Me Back to Chicago after Freddie passed away.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. So you still have the 45, Linda?
Yeah, it's up in the attic someplace. Well, my husband kind of packed away a lot of the vinyl.
Well, let me tell you this. It's worth a lot of money. They typically sell for anywhere from $150 to $500 on eBay.
And the scary thing to me has been... A lot of my old 45s, and I think we told you this before, Nick, they're being reissued on CDs over in Europe like crazy. Within the past year, I've had about six different CDs that have come out with songs that I recorded in the late 50s, mid-60s.
Of course, they don't ask
like
you.
That. No.
There's no copyright for them to be concerned.
Well, one of the weird things was it was about a year and a half ago, I received an email from a guy who wanted to use one of my songs, Satan Is Her Name. In fact, they'd already made the video, and they want to use it in a commercial over in Great Britain.
Is that right?
I said, okay, have a nice day.
But as your agent, I said, we need to talk money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they laughed.
And then there was another one that was used in a play over in the West End in London.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So he's a rock star.
So Linda first heard you on the 45 and then followed you on the radio.
Yeah,
so
and she's thinking, what? I could put this on eBay, right, Linda?
I don't think so, because it holds a lot of memories.
Oh, how sweet.
There you go. All right, Linda, thank you for the call.
And, you know, Johnny, if you remember when Steve had the celiac?
He still does,
yeah. Still do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I called you and told you that Jewel had the cake mixes in that.
I remember that, yes.
Betty Crocker made it.
That's right. That was a very big deal, too. Very big.
Yeah.
Because when he was first diagnosed, there was nothing like that available. Yeah.
So.
You guys were always looking out for us.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Right. Thank you, Linda.
And how's his brother?
We're going to talk about him right now. Just stay tuned, Linda, okay?
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, take care. There you go. Thank you, Linda. Well, speaking of your brother.
Yes.
We were just so knocked out. You had my brother Leon to talk about his book, Safe Inside.
Yeah, which is a terrific book.
And we just found out this week, Safe Inside is one of the finalists. It's been nominated for the Chicago Writers Awards.
And the nonfiction... I guess he's down to two. They have dozens of people you don't realize how many prolific writers we have in Chicago,
right,
and good writers. And he's one of two semifinalists. And December 1st, we'll find out.
That's great.
And if he wins, he will be impossible to live with.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah, he was great to have on the show. It was a great interview. I had a great time talking to him. And his book is great. It's called Safe Inside. It's a really terrific.
If I made movies, I seriously would. I think it's movie material.
Well, I also think the book is incredibly honest in every regard and brave. I think it's a brave book and really well written.
It's available through Eckhart's Press. Just do a search for Safe Inside Eckhart's Press, and it'll come up there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's pretty great. Chicago Writers Association's 2018 Book of the Year Awards. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really great. We have more texts here. 414 area code says, a lot of radio shows are just entertainment, but what makes Steve and Johnny different is that they had impact. From Website Wednesday Night to Fran Tate and her charities to the music they introduced us to, they made a difference in people's lives.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's huge.
630 area code says, Steve and Johnny, thank you for helping me make it through two on third shift. Also, thanks for the pizza I got for helping Johnny with a phone check. I've been a WGN follower since.
And by the way, it was never third shift. It was always tour one.
We found that out from some of the workers at O'Hare. They said they call it tour one because they start off the day.
That's true.
It is.
That's true.
So we should not be diminished by being third.
You know, what's really funny is that when I got this gig full time back in 2013, when you know, they announced the new lineup with Cochran taking morning drive. They took out an ad in the Tribune, like a full page, like color ad, with the new lineup, with what the lineup was. And I was listed first. And I remember,
as it should be.
I remember, yeah, I was listed first because at that time I was on 2 to 5, and and so technically I was the first new show of the day, and still am. But it was funny because I'll never forget this. This was when Bob Surratt and Marianne Marciano were still on with us, and they were doing middays. And when the ad came out, Bob talked about how that's a mistake. Like, Cochran should be listed first. And then Marianne was like, no, Nick's actually the first show of the day. And he's like, no, that should be the last show of the day.
Proving that Marianne was the brains of the family.
And what's fun is if you go to our website, you go to WGNRadio.com, and they schedule all the shows, I'm the first one listed.
Yep.
So, yeah. So that makes total sense.
Yep. Tour one. We always wanted jackets that said tour one.
Yeah. Now, when did you... Steve, when did you start on overnights?
85.
Yeah, it must have been 85,
That's when you started doing overnights?
Because for a long time, you mean just at this radio station?
No, in general.
Oh, in general? Well, my first gig at WJOB was overnights.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that was...
That was 1966.
And it was, it was obviously music, correct?
It was mostly music.
Yeah.
It was what they called then an MOR, middle of the road radio station.
And what were some of the crazy things that you got to play that, well, would you play My Sharia Moore, for example?
No, that was before.
69, yeah.
Yeah. So in 1966, some Bobby Goldsboro Association.
Couldn't play the Beatles? Did you play the Beatles?
Yeah. We did play some of the Beatles things, and as I recall, When I'm 64 was one of the only
of
things
course.
That let
that's
us M-O-R play.
M.O.R. right there.
Yeah.
How about Yesterday? Did you get to play Yesterday?
Yep.
Of course you did.
Did play that? Yep.
So, and then you went to, by the way, we have a little bit of Satan Is Her Name. let's play a little bit of that, Dan.
There's a lot of devil in a There's a lot of devil in a
The computer skipped, by the way.
Kiss a fire that burns you up. She breaks your heart and it hurts like words can't tell.
Now,
wait a minute. Wait.
Wait.
Who was that?
That was my girlfriend, Betty.
Time out. Here's where it gets weird. People
Wait,
have said.
Here's where it gets weird?
Yes. People have said to me, oh, that's so cool, Johnny. So you were singing backup? No, I was six. I was not singing backup, for God's sakes.
That's great.
I literally was six.
But that is great.
One of the things that I am most proud about that record, that was on Mercury Records. It was produced by David Carroll. David Carroll, the guy who produced Patti Page, The Platters, who discovered the Smothers Brothers.
Wow.
We recorded that at Universal Studios. No overdubs. That was how the group sounded.
And by the way, we still just have that guitar.
We just went in the studio and they rolled tape, and that's what we did.
Is it one take?
We did several takes, but was...
But that was just live. That was just
that
mics
was
in the room.
Yeah,
you guys didn't
that's
open
it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Thank you.
That's great. Wait.
I mentioned the guitar.
And that guitar, that's my 1959 Gibson ES-355.
That's the guitar that when we first started dating said, now you understand, if there's ever a fire, you go for the guitar. And I was like, yes, okay.
Because I'm the only owner of that guitar.
He said, Baby gets out first, and I'll be sure you get out. Okay.
Okay.
And that's her name, Baby.
Baby. All right. Well, there it is. There's a little example of Satan is her name.
And it recently sold in Ireland for $475. 145.
Yeah.
On eBay.
One of the original 45.
Wow. Watched it on eBay and said, I said, Steve, how many do we have? we can part with 14 of them and keep one.
And if you do a search on eBay, Amazon, whatever, that song has been reissued probably more than any of the other things over in Europe, and it's on any of a number of Halloween-oriented albums.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Satan is her name.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And you know the story about the video that the kid over in Poland put together. He's got a garage band, and adorable kid. They sing the song, and so he put together using all of those old...
he grabbed scenes from Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
Oh, sure.
And
the Russ Meyer movies?
Right. Yeah. So she's wearing the black leather, and she's Satan, and he synced it to the song.
Oh, that's
it's
cool.
Beautifully.
Wonderful.
So Steve writes to this kid, and he writes back to him in broken English, this is like Elvis has come to us. We in the band cannot believe we can die today.
And that song has been covered by several groups over
punk
in Europe,
groups.
And one punk group out on the West Coast here that it keeps resurfacing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's really, really great. All right, guys, hang on, okay? Because we have to break. We don't do traffic here anymore, but I do weather.
Wait. You don't do traffic? No. You have the traffic maven right here.
All right. What are the streets looking like?
Crap.
All right. There we go.
That construction in downtown Chicago, and can I just say how depressing the amount of graffiti we're seeing as you go into Hubbard's Cave on the Kennedy, 9094? Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We live in the suburbs. Were I a resident of the city of Chicago, I would vote for the mayoral candidate that says we're going to get rid of the graffiti.
Because that's one thing Daley did. He had the graffiti blasters, and they were no graffiti in this city.
Yep. If it's there for one day, it would be blasted away.
And now it's all over.
It's funny. Somebody, the building across the street from where I live, Kitty Cooner from where I live, let's say I'm walking over to the Walgreens, you know, for some reason, and somebody, it was one of my favorite pieces of graffiti. It was gone the next day, or 2 days later, it was gone. But someone just took spray paint and wrote X-Men on the side of the building. And I was like, I did X-Men, and then I was talking to Dan about it. Dan, you remember this? I was like, I'm trying to figure out which X-Men would do that. And I guess we decided it would be Deadpool.
Yes.
There you go.
Twisted sense of humor.
Yeah. All right. Steve and Johnny, hang on for a second. We're going to break here for weather. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man. 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. And that's Stevie Wonder, 773 area code requesting that. And we are visited by our good friends, Steve and Johnny, who were kind enough to come down and spend some time with us. We're just reminiscing and
just
talking,
hanging out.
Yep. It's always great to have you guys on. I'm always thrilled when
Thank
you come in.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
So we got more coming up. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, we got a couple of texts here. And if you want to call in or text, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Donna says, hearing Steve and Johnny in October reminds me of their great visits with Richard Crowe.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
He was a legend. Yeah. He was a legend. And always loved listening to you guys with him. And then, you know, if you guys were off during Halloween, sometimes you guys would take October off.
We did. We'd go to Florida.
Yeah. And so I remember doing many segments with Richard.
And he, whatever else he would do, he would always, year after year, have to tell the story of Resurrection
every time. Mm-hmm. Every time, because it's like one of the best ghost stories.
Like a big
build
up.
Yeah,
and I guess that is the most popular ghost story in the country,
right?
Because other cities have decided that they also have a resurrection.
There are different versions of that.
You know, the hitchhiking ghost. Oh, we got one of those too. Yeah. No, you don't.
No, you don't. Only we do. Yes. 773 area code says, hey, Steve and Johnny, what was the name of the a cappella group that did a version of Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe?
Stormy Weather.
Oh, that's, sure. Yeah.
And Susie Snowflake. They did Susie Snowflake too, which was really big for them.
Yeah. No, those guys are great.
Yeah.
Stormy Weather. They were on your show a lot of times, right?
And they were so fun to have in because you didn't have to worry about anything with microphones. Well, where do we put the drums and where does the stand-up bass? No, you just step up to a microphone and sing.
And Henry Farag and Stormy Weather are still doing some performances. Henry wrote a book that was made into a play, and I think it was called The Signal, and it had to do with the early days of rock and roll radio.
Oh.
And they've been performing it at various locations, but Stormy Weather still performs every now and then.
But it was devastating for them when the Star Plaza was torn down because that was their home base. And that was so sad.
Yeah.
Because Northwest Indiana had a place for entertainment.
Yeah.
For Vegas quality entertainment.
I mean, I went to, when it was called Holiday Star as well.
Loved
when it was Holiday Star and then Star Plaza. I've been there. I love that venue.
Oh,
yeah.
It was a great, fantastic. I remember one of the best shows I've ever seen. I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan there.
Oh,
and
cool.
I got to see Stevie Ray Vaughan twice. And I'm so lucky to have gotten to see that guy twice. What a tragedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I saw him it was Holiday Star then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was amazing. And then one of the legendary shows that he did I want to say it was 87 or 88 at the Aragon. Oh. It was unbelievable. That guy was one of the greatest. I mean, he was just one of the greatest guitarists of all time.
You want to see one of the wildest Stevie Ray Vaughan videos? Sometime look up Stevie Ray Vaughan and Lonnie Mack doing Wham! Together. It is just extraordinary.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, those two guys, I mean, you know, man, oh, man. Otis Rush just passed.
Yeah. What a brilliant performer.
It was great. I mean, legendary guy. We had so many legendary guitarists and blues players from this town, man. But no, so Star Plaza, man, I loved that place. You know what I saw there? I saw a bunch of shows. I saw Andrew Dice Clay there.
Who is so good in A Star Is Born.
He is great in A Star Is Born.
It's like that we watched the movie, and afterwards in the credits, I thought, oh, that's right. That was Andrew Dice Clay.
Well, first of all, he was great in Blue Jasmine, the Woody Allen movie. He was tremendous in that movie, and he was great in the one episode of Vinyl that he was on, the show, that HBO show Vinyl, which was not a very good show. But he was phenomenal on that. Who knew? And he's great in A Star Is Born. So good. And I love those scenes with the limo
guys.
Drivers.
Yes. Oh,
just totally cracked me up. Just these guys trying to figure out how to use YouTube and how does it count how many times you can view this thing. I love that, man. It was
an algorithm.
What's an algorithm?
It's like a beat.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, guys, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, Steve and Johnny are going to hang with us until 4:30, and then after 4:30, we're going to replay the interview that we did with Chris Smith from Florida talking about and tracking Hurricane Michael. And we want to give you the latest, as we had a couple of hours ago. So that's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. Modern technology.
And that was literally what we were talking about off the air, about like all the new technology at the station, the studio we get to use.
Oh, well, that was Jackson Browne. So And we're back. It's Nick DiGilio. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has your opening bell at 5. And my main man, the great Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. I'm being joined here, as I have been all morning. It's been so much fun hanging out with you guys.
Really?
Thanks a lot for asking us.
Thanks for hanging out so for you know, basically the entire show. I'm happy about that. We are going to repeat the interview that we did earlier in the show, right at the top of the show. Live from Panama City Beach, Florida, about Hurricane Michael. That'll be coming up after the 4:30 news. But Steve and Johnny are here, and we've been talking and hanging out and reminiscing. And we've got texts, and people have been calling. And one more time, you guys are going to be on. Well, let's do some more plugs here for Halloween. You guys are going to be on 8 to 10 p.m. And tell everybody about that.
Yeah, that's not going to be here.
That's in Florida.
This Sunday, we fly down to Florida. And we're consulting with a radio station down there, WKGC in Panama City. So for Halloween, for the second year in a row, we're doing a Halloween special. Then on November 6th, we're going to be helping them with their midterm election coverage. But then segue back to Thanksgiving, we fly back here, and we're going to be on the radio here from noon until 3.
Right, noon to 3 on Thanksgiving Day right here on WGN.
And then on New Year's Eve, we will be doing the, it was 24 years ago we first did our New Year's Eve special, and we're going to do that again here.
The cheap date life after dark New Year's Eve extravaganza.
No cover charge.
Really?
No cover charge.
And no dress code.
No, you can come naked. We don't care.
Well, normally I charge $5 to listen to this show. you have to wear a tux, considering how I'm dressed.
I like my people without pants.
Yeah. Well, hello. That'll also be on Friday morning, everybody.
Well, because, you know, we had the surveys done that proved
they paid
that
money.
We had the highest PWP audience of any radio station.
And then David Letterman stole that from us.
Yes.
He stole a couple of bits from us.
People without pants.
He stole people without pants from us. And we were like, what? We've been doing that for years.
And so that's New Year's Eve. You can ring in the New Year, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. And then you guys are going to continue with your book tour, basically.
Yes, our first library stop will be at the Elmhurst Public Library on the 12th of January. And if we haven't been to your library, you can contact us through Facebook, and we will get our publishers on it, and we'll see if they'll have us, and we'll be out there. And we come out, and we speak, and we answer questions, and usually have cookies and coffee, and then go on our merry way.
And all this stuff, by the way, and updates and things like that, it is all available at stevenjohnny.com.
Yes, right. We have a very active Facebook page, okay. A lot of really good people, and Steve takes care of that.
And you can just go to stevenjohnny.com, and it links to our Facebook and YouTube.
And our blog.
Where we post our video road tests. We're still doing them for Consumer Guide. And if you'd like to get a copy of the book, A Little More Less, you can either go to alittlemoreless.com, or you can order it by calling 312-912-8639.
There you go.
And I just realized the other day that we've been doing radio road tests for 25 years. 25
wow.
years, when we started yeah. doing them, women weren't reviewing cars because, you know what?
Yeah.
Never mind. And it's been really exciting because we still, we post one a month, even though we are driving many more cars than that, but we turn them over to our friends at Consumer Guide, and they decide what they want to use. And
we have Tom Appel on every month, as you know.
He's the best.
He's such a great guest. He's a nice guy. He's a sweet guy. And man, does he know his stuff.
Oh, sing it.
I mean, he is any question, he is never, and you know, I've had him on my show now for many years, over 5 years at least.
Sure.
And he has never not been able to answer any question that's car related. Never. And never not thoroughly, intelligently, and in a way that everybody can understand.
Absolutely.
Tom was one of those guys that we first met Tom through Frank Piler, the publisher.
Time out. Tom used to call us when he was working at a car dealership, and he stayed up all night listening because he was a radio geek.
But we didn't know it at that time.
Yes.
And when Frank Piler, the publisher of Consumer Guide at that time, when he decided he wasn't going to be able to do the radio thing anymore, he said, I've got this guy I want to bring in and see what you think. And from the first night, we said, yep, this is the right guy.
He's great. He's great. And he's one of the most popular guests that we have, because you know, like, people call in and he answers the questions, and people really look forward to it. And you don't even, you know what the thing is, I don't drive, Okay, and I haven't driven.
But you still find it interesting.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I have, you know, it's not like I've never driven a car before.
And you like cars.
I drove for many, many years, but I don't drive now. And yet I, you know, like when he's on, it's always, I'm always fascinated by it.
Sometime when you have Tom on, you need to let him program the bumps.
He's a music freak.
He's got
eclectic.
Great taste.
And by the way, the last couple of video road tests included the 2018 Toyota 4Runner and the 2018 Genesis G80 3.8.
And we're going into the 2019s now.
Yeah. What, did you like the Toyota 4Runner?
Yeah, we liked it. Mm-hmm. It was. I'm hesitating there because it's a nice, comfortable vehicle that shows its age.
I see what you're saying.
So.
Yeah. Because I remember the first one we did, we were like, ooh, you know, this is a cool little car. And yeah, like you said, they haven't changed a whole lot. And can we just say, too, because we responded to a gentleman who took the time to watch some of our reviews. Our reviews are completely unscripted. We do not get in a car with a script.
Right.
We do our homework so that we know what's under the hood and we know some of the specifics about how the car has changed. And then we get in, and what you're hearing, you're not seeing us because it's not about us, it's about the car, is completely unscripted. Because the gentleman was kind of suggesting that, you know, when you're narrating, no, we're not narrating, we're talking.
Yeah.
This person, and
he wanted
us
on camera.
He was being very nice, but he said, you know, we should be on camera and we should do a voiceover set. No, that's not the focus of this. The focus of this is not us. The focus is the cars and
get
our honest reaction to the car. And here's the sound of the engine and the ambient noise. And
if there are cicadas outside or if there's snow blowing, that's what's going to happen. And for 6 or 7 minutes, we take you for a drive.
But sometimes that works in our advantage. And I remember specifically, it was a Chrysler convertible. And we're outside, the top is down, and the cicadas are just noisy like crazy.
Things.
We raise the top, and you could hear the difference in the sound.
There you go.
So
that's how it works. So that you got those are available. By the way, I was a little distracted here because Megan is doing the Kolkmeyer is doing the weather. With, I don't know if you turn, look over your shoulder. She's got markers and cardboard pieces of paper. And I think the graphics designs, I think the graphics went out. So she drew
the United States.
And now they're giving her a standing ovation. She drew a map.
I'm going to say a name, and I bet you will know why this reminded me of this. P.J. Hoff.
P.J. Hoff.
He's too young. He's about 10 years
you may
too
be
young.
Too young.
Yeah.
P.J. Hoff used to be with Channel 2. And he used to draw all the weather stuff.
Oh, is that right?
He would draw, this one character was the vice president in charge of looking out the window. And he would just, all his weather graphics were cartoon things that he drew.
But that, I have to say, she was great.
It looked like a horse. It didn't look like United States.
But she had to do that. First of all, they set this thing up. I was looking over at it, and they set this thing up. It was three white pieces of paper.
Yeah.
She had markers. First of all, when she went up to do the first one, the marker didn't work. It was dry. So not only did the graphics break down, but then the marker was not working, and then she had to like draw the United States, which I know it didn't look like a horse, but she was kind of put on the spot. I think that was fit, and they gave her a standing ovation.
That is fantastic. I will jump in here and say we'd have to do weather, so we will ask this about this after the break, Johnny, but your appearance on Win, Lose, or Draw was brought up recently.
Oh, it was.
And so we'd like to ask you about that and that experience.
We did mention
that.
Yeah. It came up. We were talking about board games and and Pictionary came up.
Right.
And then I go right to a Burt and Burt production. And all that stuff. But that's how it came up. By the way, the person who requested the twofer of Jackson Brown's 70 today.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, Jackson Brown turned 70 today.
Oh, and that's one of my favorite Jackson Brown songs.
Yeah. So, and you can hear if you are a fan of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, they play it like 70 times in that movie. So, all right, let's break for the weather. It'll be much easier for me to do the forecast than it was for her. That's all
draw
I'm saying.
Straw horse.
All right, let's take a break here for the weather. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. And that's Lou on Two for Tuesday. Yay for Tuesday! 312-981-7200. Jackson Brown running on an empty, who turned 70 today. And we have been joined all morning by Steve and Johnny, and it's always a pleasure to have you guys on. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And lots of fun stuff happening with Steve and Johnny, and you can keep up to date with everything at stevenjohnny.com, which has links to your Facebook page and everything else that you do.
Mm-hmm. I never thought we were going to be this busy after we stopped doing a five-night-a-week gig.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we were mentioning beforehand that Johnny was on win, lose, or draw.
Yes.
Win, lose, or draw. Sorry, my horse betting instincts took over. And explain how that went and how you got on there.
Well, I got on the show because Bob Collins, I was doing traffic with him every morning, and Bob would always say, sure, I'll be happy to do fill in the blanks. And then he'd say, Johnny Gale, you're going to go do it. You're going to ride a donkey. You're going to go walk the wing of an airplane. You're going to do win. I said, Bob, you said on the air you're doing it. Oh, they know I'm not going to do it. So they sent us, they said, Steve can go along with you, first class to L.A. to do win, lose, or draw, put us up in the Beverly Hills Four Seasons, right on Rodeo Drive. It was amazing. You could actually put your shoes outside the door and they would polish them and bring them back the next morning.
I had
seven pair of shoes. They polished all of them. It was the coolest thing in the world. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Bert Convy was the host. And who was the actor who was also a disc jockey who passed away? He was Letterman's favorite guy. Letterman had him on every year.
Jay Thomas.
Yes, Jay.
He tells the Lone Ranger story, which is the greatest talk show story in the history.
Right. I drew a blank. I could see his face. But he was on with us, and it was the most terrifying thing I'd ever done in my life. The exciting part was I had a makeup person and a hair person. And we were getting ready to walk out on stage, and they said...
Well, let me hit the pause button. We had been there for the whole day, watching them tape a week's worth of shows.
They would do five shows a day.
And this was going to be the Chicago celebrity version, which was the last taping of the day. So by that point...
I was with Doug Banks.
Yeah.
And Jim from Channel 7, Sports Dude.
And Murphy.
Murphy in the morning, Robert Murphy.
Oh, man. Okay.
And me. And they're like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, you're not Bob Collins. But they treated me really well. And I was getting ready to walk out, and all these makeup people started hoarding. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? They said, wait. I'd broken out in hives. Hives, my face. So suddenly people are like powdering me all over because we're going to step right out there. And I swear to you, Nick, when I stepped out there, they could have put up a picture of Abraham Lincoln for Linkin Park. And I was like, I don't know, Daily? I had no clue. Mine completely blank. Bert Convy says to me, who are you here with? And I said, I'm with the man with the purse.
Because I was holding Johnny's purse.
And Convy goes, really? Okay. Stand up, man with the purse. And Steve stands up with my purse. I didn't know my name.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
And I was. But then they said, after we finished that day, that was on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
They said, if you'd like to stay, you're welcome to stay. And we said, how long? And they said, well, you want to stay till Sunday? Oh, yeah.
So we got on their dime the rest of the week out in Beverly Hills. But we had one of the most amazing experiences, if you got a quick second. We had been to, was it Disneyland?
Disneyland.
Come home from Disneyland, come back to the hotel from Disneyland. We pull up, and there is this huge bunch of people, limousines like crazy. There was a party being held for the designer from Dynasty.
And the whole cast.
And there were
cast.
Celebrities like crazy.
Oh, man.
The whole cast of Dynasty was there.
Yeah.
So we go in, and I had to go up to the counter for something. I turn around, and right behind me is Joan Collins. Joan Collins is not a tall woman.
No.
And I saw more of Joan Collins looking down than I ever expected to see.
You were blushing. It was so funny. He's like, okay.
And I'm assuming at that time period she had shoulder pads.
It was just kind of hanging on there.
Oh.
That's what he saw when he turned. He was like, whoa, okay, wow.
Well, at least you got a nice...
I can tell you they're real.
He had a nice trip out of it,
at least. Are you kidding?
Tom and Madison said, Steve and Johnny, I remember when Steve got hurt in London and everything it took to get him home.
Yeah.
I remember that, too. Yeah. Russ said, so
did you work for us once?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Russ said, so great to hear Steve and Johnny on the radio. I've been listening for years, and the book, A Little More or Less, is awesome. I have a signed copy.
Thank you, Russ.
630 area code said, I started listening to Johnny when she was on a radio in Aurora, and I've been listening ever since.
Wow. 1977.
Eddie Volkman, who listens to the show regularly, says, I hope that Steve is done. When Steve is done playing Baby, he stands it up against the wall because nobody puts Baby in a corner.
Nice one, Eddie.
Eddie Volkman, everybody.
Yes.
RJ says, as people who have done overnights for many years, can you guys talk about the time slot, how it's evolved over the years at WGNN Radio in general? Also, how do you think that impacted the great connection that you have with your listeners?
Well, Social media.
We did talk a little bit about that earlier, about technology. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that really changed things for us.
Yeah.
And I think we all agree that this is the most intimate time slot you can have.
No question about it.
And one of the biggest complaints people used to have 30 years ago was you don't have an 800 number, and I can't call in. And because we know that this signal, 50,000 watt, you know, blowtorch, people were listening to us in California and on the coast of Texas or whatever, down in Florida. And but I can't call in because we didn't have cell phones then. And that also changed for us when cell phones became so popular, because then we had this whole truckers network then that would listen because their cell phone was right there in their hands. And then, of course, covering news stories, thanks to the internet, that really helped out a lot.
And
remember the time there was so many people were killed because of the heat wave in Chicago, and we got a call from the BBC, and we simulcast with the BBC talking about that.
Right. Yeah, no, it's technology has changed, you know, this a lot, and I think it's enhanced how good we can be, especially on the overnights.
Yeah.
But and the connection with the listeners has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Even before the technology, you know, became what it became, our connection with the listeners, especially in this time slot, is massive. And it's true of every time slot in this radio station. I mean, everybody feels like they're a part of a family, and that's the way this radio, that's the reputation this radio station has had forever.
But the difference is management never did understand and never will understand the relationship that this shift has with the listeners.
Right, it's true.
They don't get it.
Right.
Until you are here with us, you don't understand.
It's absolutely true. 815 area code says, ask Johnny if she still does the Christmas trees at their house. Well, you do.
Absolutely.
You have the tree.
Yeah, sure.
Is it the Halloween tree. Halloween tree is up now?
Yep.
And then it will become the turkey tree. And in January, of course, is the Elvis tree, because what else is in January?
That's right. The Elvis tree.
Well, I don't do August because that's really grim. You know, the dead Elvis tree. So.
You don't want to do that.
No. August is actually the back to school tree.
That's the back to school tree. That's better than the dead Elvis tree.
I know.
That really is.
It was a tough choice.
I'll never forget when I heard that my dad told me and my mom that Elvis passed away. My mom, you know, massive Elvis fan.
Oh, yeah.
And he came home and said, you know, Elvis passed away. My mom started crying. And then. I remember the impact that it had on her. And then, you guys obviously remember this, every local, like, UHF channel, suddenly they were selling greatest hits of Elvis Presley, gospel hits of Elvis Presley. Every other commercial was for a 1-800 or a send-off and get the new Elvis. They were cashing in big time after he passed away.
I actually listened to Steve that night on WLS because he was interviewing people like Pat Boone.
I had Pat Boone on for about a half hour talking about his relationship with Elvis because he had a very close relationship with Elvis for a while.
Yeah, no, this is really strange, but I also associate seeing the movie, the horror movie Suspiria, because it came out the weekend that Elvis died. And I always associate.
Wow.
I have this because first of all, Suspiria is the scariest movie, and the remake comes out. The remake comes out in 3 weeks. But I just always, because I remember it was like it was, you know, the newspaper, the cover of the newspaper, and everything that we were downtown to see Suspiria, and the cover of the newspaper was Elvis is dead, and all this other stuff. And I always, for some reason, I associate Suspiria, and I vividly remember it being like the same time that Elvis passed away.
I believe I've told you my Elvis death weird story.
Don't. We're up against the clock, Steve.
I'll do this in 30 seconds.
Okay.
I had seen Elvis about three times within the last year of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Performing live.
And the last time I saw him, I was at his last concert in Indianapolis. I mentioned that I had seen him three times because his physical appearance was nothing new to me.
Yeah.
During that concert, I said to the person sitting next to me who also had the same thought, this is the last time we're ever going to see him alive.
Wow. Yeah, he didn't look good, man.
He did not look good.
Now, you remember this movie, and we'll get to the news in a second, a quick break here. You remember the movie, obviously, you guys remember the documentary, This is Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Which is a great film. A great film. If you've not seen it, it's one of the definitive documentaries about Elvis.
Yep.
And I'll never forget the first time I saw that movie, and they did a split screen of Elvis in 1977, right before he died, and Elvis in the 50s.
Yep.
And it was startling. It was just like, oh, my God. It was like a punch to the gut.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but anyway. Hey, nice way to end the visit.
Hello. Yeah. Hey.
All right.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, everybody.
Elvis is dead. you guys, just great hanging out with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
We really appreciate it. It's been fantastic.
We love you. We love your show. And
oh, thank you.
It's in great hands.
Well, I wouldn't be here without you guys and Roy Leonard giving me all the support that I had over the years. You guys are the best. Back on Thanksgiving. You guys will be back on Thanksgiving right here on the radio station from noon to 3. And, of course, New Year's Eve from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Yep. Everybody tune in and go to StephenJohnny.com. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, quick break. The news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's 2 for Tuesday wrapping up here. 2 for Tuesday. And Lulu requested Brian Auger with Whenever You're Ready. Brian Auger with Whenever You're Ready. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and we're here till 5 a.m., and there you go. Well, listen, Steve and Johnny were with us for most of the show this morning, and it was great having them on. They got a lot of busy stuff happening to them, and it was great to visit with them and hang out. And so you can follow all of their stuff at StephenJohnny.com. And, again, they'll be back on the air here on Thanksgiving in the afternoon, and then they'll be on for New Year's Eve, ringing in the new year. So as you know, Steve and Johnny have a place in Panama City Beach, Florida, which is right in line with where the Hurricane Michael is heading. And a little bit earlier, we were at the top of the show. We talked with Chris Smith, who is the chief meteorologist for WJHG in Panama City Beach. And we want to replay that because I know a lot of people are waking up right now and wondering, people who are tracking the storm up to this minute. What's the progress? What's it going to be like? And we wanted to play this back because there's a lot of information that Chris Smith had. And so we visited. This is Chris Smith. This is our visit. It's me and Steve and Johnny talking a little bit earlier with Chris Smith, who is the chief meteorologist for WJHG in Panama City Beach, giving us the latest on Hurricane Michael.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And we'll see you all soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
There you go. That was from around 1:20 this morning when we talked to Chris, and so that's the latest. We wanted to make sure, if you didn't hear that, people getting up right now and coming into work, that's the latest that we have on what's going on with Hurricane Michael. That was directly from Florida, Panama City Beach, Florida. So we'll keep an eye on it here in Chicago, and everybody around the country and the world will be watching as well. So, all right, let's 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text if you got any comments or anything that you'd like to talk about. Right now, let's break for weather. Welcome back, everybody. 2 for Tuesday wrapping up.
Yeah, 2 for Tuesday.
That's wrapping up right now. That is Lulu, who requested Brian Auger. Happiness is just around the bend. So, welcome, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich coming up with the opening bell, and Steve Cochran at 6. Also coming up, stories the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. So there you go. Hey, Dan, that was fun hanging out with Steve and Johnny, huh?
Yeah, it was always nice to catch up with them.
Yeah, I remember because I used to listen to... used to listen to Steve on IND. So, I remember Steve on LS too, on WLS, when he was a jock. But yeah, and then, it was really nice of them, you know, pretty early on, because I started with Roy in 85, and right around 86-ish, you know, 86, late 86, I think, is when they asked me to come on to their show.
What was the first time you met them in person? Do you remember?
Well, I met them separately. I met Steve at Bradley Place. But I didn't meet, I met Steve at Bradley Place, and then I met Johnny, I want to say I met Johnny when she was doing Bob's show. That's when I first met her, not here, at the Trib building, and that's when I met him. And then the first time I was together with them was, with them together was when they asked me to do their show. Now, I had called in. You know, as a regular listener, I would call in and say hi to them, so they knew who I was. And then when I started doing movie reviews on Roy's show, they also knew who I was. And that's, I would start out with Roy, as I was a fan, and I would call in constantly, on Roy's show, you know, and ask him about movies and all that stuff. And then like I won stuff from Roy way too often. I don't know if there wasn't if there wasn't a rule, the 6-week rule. I don't know if that was in effect, yeah. But all I know is I kept winning stuff from Roy. Roy would send me albums and all kinds of stuff. I remember I got the soundtrack to Caddyshack from Roy. I got the soundtrack to Clash of the Titans, the original, from Roy. Lots of King Richard's Fair passes, which is the Bristol Renaissance Fair now, but that used to be called the King Richard's Fair. And I think they were like a major sponsor on Roy's show because he gave away tickets to that all the time. And so that's how it started. And then I started doing, my weekly thing on Roy's show. And then Steve and Johnny asked me to come on the first Sunday night / Monday morning of each month to preview the month's movies. And that's how it started. And I did that with them for 13, 14 years until I got my own show. And when I finally got my own show in 98, when Mary June Rose gave me the overnights on the weekend, then, you know, I didn't do that anymore because I was there. I was Steve and Johnny's lead-in. So on Sunday nights into Monday morning. So I was their lead-in. And then they got a couple of other people to fill that slot. There was Hank. Hank Sarton was one of them. And who else?
Rob or Ron Falzone from Cinema Slapdown.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, sure. Yeah, Ron Falzone with the Columbia College.
Mm-hmm.
Knows his film very well. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, Steve and Johnny, you know, gave me a lot of exposure on their show, you know. They would have me on, you know, monthly to do that thing. And then like in the spring, late spring, we would do the biannual drive-in special, where we would come on and just talk strictly about drive-ins and tell drive-in stories and memories and things like that, talk about the drive-ins that were open. And then at the end of the drive-in season, we would do it. They would have me on for Halloween. So these were the times when they would bring me in addition to my monthly visits. So, and this, you know, was years. And and anytime there was something happening, let's say I started doing theater or something like that, they would have me on to talk about that. So they were they were incredibly kind and generous, as you know. I mean, you worked mm-hmm. with them for a while.
Absolutely. The first time I met them, I got a call. Katie Steele needed a night off, and I got the call at like 11 a.m. for that night. And the place I was working at was fortunate enough to say, you know, you can come in late the next day and you can spend, you know, the night. And so I got to, you know, meet them and had a really wonderful conversation with them and a really wonderful night, and was just really proud of the job I had done. And I still have this email to this day. Todd Manley, who was, you know, who was the program manager at the time and is now our head boss currently, he had sent me an email about something else, and the last line was, "It by the way, Steve and Johnny really dug your act."
Nice.
And like I said, I still have that email to this day, and was lucky enough to work with them all those years.
Yeah, they're special people, man. They really are, and they're pros. They're totally pros, and you know the history that they have, separate and together, is fantastic. And I still keep waiting for them to come back and retake this time slot. I'm just filling in until they decide to come back. All right, why don't we take a break here? It was great talking with Steve and Johnny, and thank you guys for the calls and for the texts and everything. I this time slot wouldn't be what it is without having Steve and Johnny make it what it is. And I'm just trying I'm just trying to keep it entertaining for everybody on the overnight hours, and I have a great time doing this, and I'm honored to be on this station and this time slot. So, all right, let's take a break here. Hey, by the way, tomorrow Rick Geezer is going to join us. Hockey season has begun, so we're going to have a special hockey edition of sports songs. That's coming up tomorrow. So the news is coming up next, though.